awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Hello.
I hate this wind.
I am a vampire.
Ah.
Yes.
That sucks.
I do.
Gosh.
All of the blood will be mine. Steve, I dreamed that one of our listeners called in and gave us a death threat.
That's so weird.
I know. It was fun. It was a fun dream. But yeah. The dream, the person was, they were being serious, but we were not taking them seriously at all.
And that it was, sounds like us.
Yeah. They were like, no, I'm going to come up there and blah, blah, blah. And we were like, whatever. It was stupid.
Is it because we have training today? Is that in your mind?
Oh, yeah. Maybe so. Maybe that's what it is.
We it's have in like your brain.
We have like some kind of employee training thing.
Yes.
This afternoon.
We're learning.
Learning things.
We're learning the way of survival.
The way of the dragon. It's really nice of them to give us all black belts for no reason. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know a lick of karate, but I can punch and I can kick.
And I can punch.
I'm 50.
Dude, my throat is killing me today.
Is it the allergies?
I think so.
Is it the wind?
I think the wind is blowing stuff around like madness. Last night, there's a street light, and it seriously looked like it was dancing on the street corner, and it was about to just fall over.
Dang, I saw it. Get yourself.
It was crazy, so be careful. The wind's a little crazy. Man, we got up today, and we got out the door, and it was cold.
Cold today.
The wind is blowing cold air. No bueno.
Off of the mountains.
Yeah.
The mountains. The wind is coming down from the mountains, bringing with it chilly temperatures.
This time of year is not my favorite.
Are you checking your weather app?
Yeah.
What's it say for today?
34 degrees.
Oh, man.
We got a high of 49.
Oh, it's cold today.
Yeah.
Oh, the cold front's moving through, and I didn't know, and I didn't bring a jacket.
High of 49.
Oh, great.
Winds 20 to 30 miles per hour, gusts around 45 miles per hour.
This is bad. I should have brought a jacket.
Oh, and your wife's flying out in that wind.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Don, be careful.
Yeah.
I prayed this morning that there wouldn't be any severe turbulence like those other flights we've been hearing about.
Yeah.
But she's smart enough to keep her seatbelt buckled the whole time.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's going to be cold today, so make sure you bundle up.
Bundle up!
It's 34 right now, but apparently it feels like 24. I would agree with that. That wind is blowing some cold air. So.
Such a different cold feeling, because when I went back to Nashville last week, it was cold. It was like in the 40s, I think, maybe 50s, but it's humid. So the cold gets in like your clothes, sort of. Kind of like when you're over there and it's humid, you know, you start feeling sticky and you sweat for no reason.
Ugh.
When it's cold, it's just like that, except it's cold. So you start feeling real icy. And it's like, oh, so I'm walking around. Everybody else is like, wow, it's really nice right now. And I'm going, but I've been cold. It's just it feels different out here. It's a different kind of cold.
It is. It is. Dude, get prepared. We have a huge show for you today. Theology Thursday. We've got like 5 different conversations already going for Theology Thursday.
Today I'm going to debate Beenix. I'm going to prove that Hollow Earth is real.
I can't wait.
Because last week it totally got laughed about.
Yeah.
And there wasn't,
I'm still laughing.
There wasn't an advocate.
Yeah, I know.
For the Hollow Earth. It's a theory that dates back to 1629.
You do Hollow Earth, I'll do Middle Earth.
Okay.
Okay. Because I feel like there's more historical documents to prove that Middle Earth is real.
Maybe.
I mean, you know. We have the account of one Bilbo Baggins.
That's true.
He wrote it there and back again.
The only guy.
It's a Hobbit's Tale.
The guy that discovered Halley's Comet's first guy that came up with Hollow Earth theory.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart guy.
He was very smart.
So, you never know. We've got that. We've got Kevin Banks coming in this morning to talk about a great gospel night coming up tomorrow night, actually. A free event. Just a little hang time. Of course, speaking of hanging out, last night hung out with my son who decided he was going to brave the late night to stay up and watch the Lobos, who tipped off at 9 p.m. in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Took on UNLV. You went to bed.
I did. I was like, nah.
Your wife stayed up for a bit.
She did.
She likes that Hugh Green.
She does. She likes him. That's
she
fine.
Calls him Heath.
He's her J-Law.
Yeah. He looks fine. Like Heath Ledger, she says.
Aw.
So she was calling him Heath.
She misses Heath Ledger. So. She and Heath Ledger were good friends.
Stop it.
They knew each other. They hung out.
This is all false.
By hanging out, I mean false. She watched Dark Knight of Blunt.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Knight's Tale, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Wow.
She had a poster. We still have the poster.
Incredible. Well, Hugh helped the Lobos last night. We look good. 56-68, Lobos beat UNLV.
Woo!
At the Thomas Mack Arena in Las Vegas. I'm pretty stoked. We're looking good. Our next game at home, no bigs. Believe it's San Diego State.
Ooh. Why is that important?
They're number 6 in the nation.
Oh! So if the Lobos beat number 6 in the nation, does that make you number 6 or number 5?
No, I wish. Stever.
Hey. It's San Diego State. Aztecs are and then our last game of the season, I believe, is
in San Diego. Yeah.
Couple tough games coming up, and actually we have Air Force still to come. Nevada?
We beat them once already in Nevada. That's the game that I was at this last week.
Yeah.
So we play them in Nevada. Air Force hung in there with San Diego State.
Yeah,
so.
There's no one in the Mountain West you want to just turn your nose up at it unless it's San Jose State.
Yeah.
But even then.
I was going to say.
You never know.
Oh, last night was great. Did you stay up and watch the whole thing?
I stayed up and watched the whole thing, and I am not the biggest Bobby Knight fan, but Bobby Knight is apparently a fan of the Lobos.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Musburger, you know.
It was good.
It's kind of cool.
Good duo last night calling the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach Knight kept going on and on about those big kids from New Mexico.
Yeah.
Talking up Alex and Cameron. And, of course, Kendall had a great game.
I was going to say, he didn't show up for Nevada, so it was really good to see him start the game with a 3, and he looked good last night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Woof, woof, woof.
Woof, yeah. Woof, woof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loud as how. I'm edgy. I'm edgy.
Nicely.
It feels good to be so edgy.
Yeah. On the way, we got birthdays. If you'd like to get a birthday shout out in, you can do so. Studio MISaticRadio.com.
Look, I'm Ringo.
Oh, man. I didn't get the peace sign thing.
He's just saying peace.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing. Peace, y'all. Yes. I'm Ringo Starr.
Man. Coming up, breaking news, but to get you there, we got some music from Canopy Climbers, and right now, latest from the fray, Love Don't Die. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
If I know one thing, that's true.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news, Hollow Earth is real.
I can't wait till 9 o'clock.
It's going to be stupid.
It's going to be great!
Yeah, it is. I was wrong. Haley wasn't the first. Edmund Haley, British astronomer, discovered Haley's Comet. Apparently, Hollow Earth has been... It's been an ancient theory, dating back to who knows when. It was in the Buddhist religion, also in Tibetan monk stuff. Crazy. Way back, way back. Anyway, breaking news.
Yeah.
George Zimmerman says he wants to be an attorney.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, man. That dude is just misstep after misstep.
Yep.
I don't trust it.
Yeah.
In Michigan, a woman who was conned people by faking cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
Was sentenced to prison. No good. Who was the... Wasn't there somebody that wrote, like, a praise song, and then it came out, he had been, like... He had been elaborating a little bit, like, embellishing his story. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, but he totally wrote this awesome praise song.
Yeah.
And then it was all like about like healing. It was about his journey with cancer or some disease.
Yeah.
And then later it was like, you never had that, but you sure do have a lot of money now.
Man, what was that song? I don't remember.
I think I bet Stever knows it.
He knows everything.
A South Carolina woman was jailed for a night for not returning a video she rented in 2005. She went to jail. For a night.
It's ridiculous.
Guys, that's what happens when you don't be kind, rewind, and return your movies.
9 years. Monster-in-Law is what she rented.
That's a stupid movie.
I know.
J-Lo, somebody else.
Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda.
So I've heard.
It's a rom-com.
I've never seen
it. How many times have you watched it?
7.
Okay.
Yeah.
A disappointing Russian Olympic hockey team fell out of the tournament with a loss in the quarterfinals. In other words, despite playing at home, they won't make it to the championship.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
It's taking on Canada.
Well, that's what happened in Vancouver, too, right? Wasn't it USA versus Canada for border control?
But this is like, I think this is just the semis.
Can I tell you the picture I just had in my head?
Yep.
Like, for border control at the Canadian border during the winter, I just see, like, the U.S. curling team and the Canadian curling team on each side of the border, and they're both scooting that thing, just looking at each other. They're going, don't you come over here. Don't you freaking come over here. That's what they're doing. That's border control.
Oh, man.
Meanwhile, in Mexico, machine guns.
What?
Yeah, you know, at the border.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
No!
We talked with Congressman Steve Pierce about that very thing, if you missed it, last week. Mm. Check out our podcast, mystaticradio.com.
I did miss it.
It was good, man.
A group of students in a cooking class at a Chicago high school suffered minor injuries after an explosion caused by their attempt to make hot chocolate. That's right. Hot chocolate, people. The world's newest explosive device, hot chocolate.
Wow.
Look out. How do you mess that up?
I don't even know.
It reminds me of when we were in college. Dave wanted to make Easy Mac. Me and Dave Stovall were roommates. Dave
okay.
Lee. And he said, hey, dude, he had never made it in his life. Easy Mac. And he said, hey, man, how do I make this? And I was like, it's easy. And I said, you pretty much just put the bowl in the microwave, and there it is. Easy Mac. He didn't put any water in it.
Okay.
Because there are two steps to making Easy Mac.
Right.
And I just assumed
right, that,
he would know to put water in it. Just add water is a pretty common direction.
Right.
It goes with most things that are microwavable. He had made ramen before, you know, so I just assumed. Well, the next thing I knew, I look around and our microwave door pops open and a yellow plume of smoke goes billowing out of it. And I just said, hey, Dave, our room's on fire. And then we were like, ah! It was great.
It's pretty awesome.
Then there was the other time where we flooded our room. That was hilarious.
Gosh.
College was crazy, man.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
It was fun. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will unveil today their new helmet logo, the new colors.
Oh, man.
Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I am freaking out. I am a little nervous, to be honest.
How did Jack and Luke feel?
Kind of excited.
Yeah.
I showed them what looked like it could be the new image.
I want to see it.
Luke said, how is that different? And Jack said, that looks amazing. I can't say who sent this to me. I have a friend in Tampa. He drums in a band.
Ooh.
And this is allegedly.
How is that different?
Gosh, it's so different.
Yeah?
You and Luke and Chrissy. Ugh.
It looks the same.
Here, bring up the normal image.
You know what
I can't show.
You know
this
what
image.
I'm betting?
Huh?
I'm betting that the new colors are going to be silver, black, and red. That was the first idea I had yesterday.
They say their uniform colors aren't necessarily changing.
I don't believe that.
It's a new helmet and a new logo.
I don't believe that. That doo-doo brown color. They need to get rid of that.
It's pewter.
It's not.
It's
19,
awesome.
It's not 1978 anymore.
I do know this. Warren Sapp has tweeted a little hint, a little teaser. Chrome grills on the helmets.
Ooh. Logo.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, I'm looking this up. People.
I'm really excited. It's coming down at 6 o'clock on the NFL Network.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so see?
Well, it's the same concept, but it is a different design.
Updated.
Look at this happy. That's cool.
That's on their shoulders. That's already their logo.
Now let's see if other people are echoing this.
So people are, yeah. Everybody's been trying to post up new photos of the new logo. It allegedly leaked. I have some friends that live in Tampa.
You do?
One who may happen to have a dad who used to play for them.
Interesting. See? Nothing.
Nothing.
Is that it right there? Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. Nope, that's the original logo.
All right, we'll see, guys. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Speaking of new designs.
I have to get a new hat.
Yeah, you do. You got to get all new stuff.
Gosh.
can't afford
that. Sony released an official image of the new Green Goblin, because what happened this week is the toy company, Hasbro or whoever.
Yeah.
Maybe Hasbro. It used to be Toy Biz. It's not anymore. Yeah. They released a picture of the bust. A bust of the new Green Goblin, and it was before Sony had ever put out an official image. So, you know, they were like, what?
Why would you do that?
You ruined it! So they put out an image today, and you already have Spider-Man fans up in arms.
That's me!
There is a case to be made. Why can't you just take something that looks fine in the comic books and just make it look like that on the screen?
He looks like old Greg. He's got barnacles on his face.
He looks like a goblin. I'll give you that. He looks like a goblin.
Or a pirate from Davy Jones's ship with all the barnacles and stuff on him.
Somebody said
it looks like algae's growing.
Somebody
on
said
him.
He looks like one of the characters from the original Fright Night.
Oh no.
Yeah, like one of those vampires.
Ugh.
But again, we've only seen one image.
I know.
And we don't know what's going to happen. Like, a lot of people are theorizing, like the positive thinkers are saying, well, maybe he's like a proto-type goblin. He's like a first run, and then later Norman, the dad, is going to come in and be like, for real.
Yeah.
But we never know. I'll say this, if they would just put a hood on him, like with the little, that,
thinking
it would fix most
things. Flying a glider, though, with a hipster hood?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be very aerodynamic.
Well, his thing, you know, it comes down in the center.
Yeah.
And it's round, and then it just kind of trails like a weather balloon.
That's true.
Like a weather cone thing.
Yeah.
It could work.
Maybe.
I think too much about this stuff. There are new accusations about Gwyneth Paltrow cheating on her husband, Chris Martin,
of
Coldplay. Sadness. Australian scientists have discovered a mouse-like creature with an unusual mating habit. The males die within a year due to extremely aggressive hooking up, going nonstop for 12 to 14 hours.
Weird.
So I guess now doing it like rabbits or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Now
it's
doing it like those crazy Australian mice creatures.
You that can change it. Flow.
It flows great. It flows great. Yes, it does. Oh, a British newspaper mistakenly reported that Patrick Stewart, Chrissy's crush, is gay. Yeah.
That's stupid. He just got married.
Mm. I'd say that was
Ian
a mistake.
Him and Ian McKellen are best friends. Ian McKellen would know.
Dude, I love it when they put up pictures of themselves like hanging out doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Because they're always doing the crazy. They're both really old, but they're like, here we are going skydiving.
I love it, man.
They're best buddies.
That's a cool little friendship.
Facebook dropped $19 billion on an app company called WhatsApp. Now, WhatsApp is... It's actually Dawn and I use it when she goes overseas.
Oh, okay.
If there's not I guess we could just use iMessage, but it works over the internet. You can text people.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you use your phone number, but it works over the internet.
That's interesting. And
so you don't get texting charges. So international texting and stuff like that, it doesn't cost you anything.
That's interesting.
And so Facebook bought that stuff.
Smart buy, I guess.
WhatsApp is an instant messaging service based in Santa Clara, California, that's reached 400 million monthly users.
Wow.
Facebook just bought the company for $19 billion. WhatsApp sends 20 billion messages per day, double the size of Facebook's daily messaging traffic carried by Messenger. WhatsApp allows you to send text messages, audio, and video to others via the internet.
I wonder if they're going to incorporate that into Facebook.
Yeah. It's just like when Facebook bought Instagram.
Crazy.
I bet it'll kind of be like that, where you have Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
But if you start getting into your settings, you see more and more how it is. It just goes straight to Facebook.
You know how people keep saying Facebook's going away?
It's not.
I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Well, we read yesterday that it's still totally fine.
Yeah.
People are like, Facebook's old, and it's really not.
Yeah.
It's because what happens is, no matter how much you're on Instagram or Twitter, you get bored, and then you're like, I'll just go check my Facebook, and then you end up wasting hours.
That's why I don't have one.
Stupid quizzes.
Who
are you? I am Iron Man and the Avengers.
Exactly why I don't have a Facebook, although I'm Roy Harper on Arrow.
You are. You are. What else? Keep going.
I don't know what else. I've only taken a couple because you, not you guys. You don't. You don't as much. You're our wives. That's what they do.
They love
That's what
it.
They do. I don't know which X-Men I am, which is kind of a shame.
Oh, man. Also, I read this yesterday. I don't know if it's true or not, but here it is in this paper. There is a rumor that Miley Cyrus is 21. 21-year-old Miley Cyrus.
That's not a rumor.
That's not
real.
The rumor. That's confirmed.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
She is dating Jared Leto, the lead singer at 30 Seconds to Mars and the... Oscar-nominated and Golden Globe-winning actor. And he's double her age. So who knows? It could just be
Jared Leto is 42 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, that dude, you he talk about, 20. He found the fountain of youth and he is keeping it to himself. He's sharing it with Pharrell. And
yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Vampires.
Wow.
Yeah. If Incredible. There is a vampire in this world, it's Jared Leto.
Yeah.
And
really
we know
is.
It. Confirmed.
It really is.
But you know
it
what? That doesn't matter because now it's time for birthdays.
Time for birthdays! Good morning, Stever.
Morning. A little tired.
Yeah, hey, you stayed up. You're a trooper.
I am a fan.
You're a Lobo.
You're a real fan.
Yeah, yes, I am.
That's great.
Actually, I'm going to be out of town this weekend, and I am tracking down a place I can go watch the Lobos.
Yeah, dude.
To watch that San Diego. It's 9 o'clock Mountain Time, which means where I'll be, it'll be 10 o'clock.
That's right.
I think.
Central,
I think.
That's when it'll be.
Yeah.
So I will be...
That's a big game. It better be on ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Is it on the ESPN?
Yep.
It's good.
All right.
So for sake of time today, got a lot to get through. The first five are kind of a lightning round. All right?
Okay.
From 6 Feet Under, Ransom, Say Anything, The Haunting, and The Conjuring, Lily Taylor celebrating a birthday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who it was either.
Lily Taylor. I'll say 42.
43.
47. Oscar winner for Lilies of the Field. Also appeared in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, In the Heat of the Night, The Jackal, To Sir With Love. Sidney Poitier.
Oh, Sidney Poitier. They call me
Mr. Tibbs.
He is 69.
He is 67.
87.
Wow. 80.
He is very old.
Yep. All right. You guys will know who this is, I think, but kind of one of those B actors. From Nick of Time with, what's his name, Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
He was also in XXX State of the Union. Peter Strauss.
Peter Strauss?
No clue.
You'd know him to see him.
46.
50.
Peter Strauss is 67.
Wow, okay.
All right, never watched this one. From 6 Feet Under, Lauren Ambrose.
No clue.
41.
45.
36.
Man, I'm just shot in the dark.
All right, child of the 60s, so you were, you know, a kid in the 70s or older than that, you may remember this. Newspaper heiress and kidnap victim.
Whoa.
Patty Hearst Shaw.
65.
Man. 66?
She is 60.
Okay.
She's from the Hearst publishing family, the Hearst Castle on Highway 1.
I didn't know she got kidnapped.
Yeah, she was kidnapped and then... What the law was trying to figure out, was she coerced into helping rob banks and stuff, or was she compliant? That was the whole thing back then. They're just trying
Sounds
to figure.
Sounds like a movie.
Yeah, well, it has been, believe me.
Okay.
All right.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yep.
John Lithgow.
Nope.
The Girl.
Nope.
Stuart French. French Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What happened to him?
Everyone squint your eyes.
Yeah.
Except I started talking, and then I realized I was sounding more like Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, I know what happened to him. Jimmy Fallon made fun of him on Saturday Night Live, and then Jimmy Fallon's version of him eclipsed the real version of him, and he disappeared.
All right. He's still doing TV movies and stuff. All right, so French Stewart celebrating a birthday.
45.
Yeah. 42.
He's 50.
50. Okay.
Don't talk during our nighttime drama stories.
What?
Night Court.
No.
Wait.
I know, I'm just kidding. Moonlighting.
Melrose Place.
Melrose Place.
Andrew Shue.
Andrew who?
S-H-U-E, Shue.
All right. 48.
Who's the actress, Shue?
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had any relation there.
I don't know. She was the best.
Okay, Andrew Shue. How old did you say?
I don't even remember now. You guys
said 48.
You guys said Elizabeth Shue.
I say 44.
47.
Dang.
Did you guys ever watch Melrose Place?
No.
No, dude. I'm
Neither.
A man. 902.
Which one was the spinoff? One of those.
Melrose
Place. Melrose Place, I think, spun off from 90210, didn't it?
Yes.
Steve-O fan?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Of those shows?
And it didn't necessarily spin off. It was just the next one.
I see.
You know what I mean?
No.
They weren't in the same universe. it was 90210, and then they were like, this show's really successful. Now let's do one when people are like a little older.
Aaron Spelling was like, I need another
yes.
one.
Yes. So same creator, totally different universe. I gotta go. This is terrible. What?
But no, we're talking Broadway, actually, Peter Pan. From the Hogan family and Peter Pan, Sandy Duncan, who played Peter Pan, celebrating a birthday.
I think I've seen that one. Did they release the VHS of the play? And she
probably.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh,
sure.
51.
That I never thought
62.
68. Mm. All right. She also used to do, I think, Wheat Thins or Triscuit commercials. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like all right.
Wait.
Should we wait?
Watch me now.
Here no. I go.
It's easier than fly.
He can fly.
He can fly.
He can fly. He flew.
Is that what you needed, Matt?
Yeah.
You all right now?
He flew.
Okay, here we go. Not the one from the band Heart, but Nancy Wilson, jazz and soul singer, celebrating her birthday.
Give me a little of that soul singing.
67.
Like they
used to 72. 77. Paul in Houston just sent me a text reminding me French Stewart went to Del Norte. I forgot about that.
Oh, okay.
He's from the 505.
Del Norte!
Yeah. All righty. Let's see. Now, I never watched this show, although I should go back, if it's available, go back and watch it, because I love the original Bob Newhart show.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Simply Newhart, the one where he played a innkeeper in New England.
Yeah.
John Volstad, he was one of the brothers Daryl. Remember, here's my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl.
No.
Okay. Anyway, one of the brothers Daryl celebrating a birthday today.
Volstagg, he was the orange-bearded friend of Thor.
Thor, yes. Got it.
All righty.
No, I think that's Fan. No, that is Volstagg.
Yeah.
Fandral's the pretty one. Okay. 69.
71.
63.
Dang. Oh. Hey, birthday shout out real quick to Melinda Marquez. We just got an email.
Nice.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Melinda.
Happy birthday.
How old do you guys think Melinda is?
She's probably 23.
All righty.
Yeah, it's Caleb's mom, so yeah. I'm going to say...
Definitely mid-20s.
Mid-20s.
Okay.
Caleb emailed that in, and obviously Caleb's got to be 6 or 7.
Yeah, he knows how to operate email.
Teen or 34.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Did we just get that, or we get it before birthday start?
We just got it.
That's cool.
Yeah, we wanted, you know.
Well, we got it like 20 minutes ago.
I'm glad we got it.
Yeah,
me you know.
Too. Yeah.
Okay. Former NBA star. You got NBA music, Steve-O? That's very good.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the hint I'll give you.
Inspired by Jimmy Fallon.
Here's the hint I'll give you.
Yeah.
That's just T-R-B-L.
Yes, Barkley.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Charles Barkley.
T-R-B-L.
That's some kind of knucklehead was over there trying to dribble the ball.
Man, I wish we could call Fred right now, because Fred, that used to work with me at Forever 21, he can do the best Shaq impression and Charles Barkley.
Nicely
he sounds
done.
Just like him.
Amazing.
When he does Shaq, his eyes are going crazy. It looks hilarious.
Charles Barkley. Golfer extraordinaire.
55.
Republican who some wanted to run for governor of whatever state he's from.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah, 55.
I say 53.
51. All right, here we go.
Madonna?
No. It's Gloria Vanderbilt's birthday. Fashion designer.
Who?
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of Gloria Vanderbilt.
No. Dude, I'm a man.
Okay.
He's not fashionable.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm wearing a Space Invaders Argyles hoodie.
That's cool.
All righty.
And then underneath my T-shirt is... Oh, wait. No, it's actually... That's
see,
a nice shirt.
Cool shirt.
That's a
nice shirt.
You knew even to say Argyle, so stop with your...
He's okay. Got you.
Okay, so Gloria Vanderbilt, turning of age today.
70.
21.
90.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of up there.
Yeah.
She's accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
Shine bright like a diamond. It's Rihanna's birthday?
Yep.
Ah! Oh.
What have we all done with our lives?
I wish that you would have played the Coldplay song featuring Rihanna.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I
chose to be happy.
All right.
I think she's 22.
No.
26.
She is 26.
No!
Just sit there, Steve. I'll wait until he guesses all the different ages.
Okay.
Let's move on. This was probably the one that would have been from your guys' generation.
Roy Orbison.
No.
Julia Roberts.
No.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about model?
Yes.
Cindy Crawford.
Yep.
There you go.
Beauty Mark, right?
Yep.
Cindy Crawford.
She was the supermodel of the 80s.
Yeah. Cindy Crawford celebrating her birthday.
What do you think? I say 44.
50.
48.
Ah!
All right, got a couple more here. Guitarist Jay Giles from the Jay Giles Band.
Nice.
Celebrating a birthday.
57.
Um, 61.
68.
Ah!
All right, I'm going to Nashville for this one, gentlemen.
Dolly Parton.
No.
Garth Brooks.
CCM.
Michael W. Smith.
Nope.
Sandy Patty.
Nope.
Amy Grant.
Nope. In Christ alone will I glory. Here, let me help you guys out.
I don't know who this is. Everybody sing. Brian, what's his face?
Littrell.
Yeah. He was Littrell. He was on Provident when we were on Provident. And I saw him once and he was super short. You are
my father. Yep, Brian Littrell celebrating a birthday.
Yep. The old man.
Of course, left Backstreet Boys, went on to do... yeah. Is he still doing a career in Christian music?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think it didn't work out too
yeah.
well.
Old man got me an autograph picture from him.
Really?
When he was out there. Yeah.
All right.
It was hilarious.
So what do you think, Brian Littrell?
34.
How old are all those guys now?
34.
I feel like he's older. 38.
Brian Littrell... 39.
Ah,
very close. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
This is the last week, guys. What is Monday the closing ceremonies?
Believe so.
On this date, in what year American figure skater Tara Lipinski became the youngest gold medalist at the Winter Olympics in Nagano, Japan?
04.
No, wait. I'm sorry. 06.
Winter Olympics every 4 years. Yeah, 06.
98.
Wow.
Yep. She's commentating this year.
Yeah, I know. She looks like she's 20. Are you serious?
With the guy who likes to wear ladies' jewelry.
Yeah, I don't know how that's translating. It's definitely trans something.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Oh, man. Have you seen who I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, is, really?
It's not Reed. What's his name?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Is he a biathlete?
Okay.
I watched him. I watched it.
On this
Weir.
Date.
His name's Weir.
On this date in what year?
I don't know.
While aboard Friendship 7, John Glenn orbited the Earth 3 times in 4 hours, 55 minutes, becoming the first American to orbit the Earth.
1962.
Dang it. Oh, wow. That was before we landed on the
moon. Yeah. Yeah. We had to orbit the Earth first, Steve-O.
Baby steps.
I don't know.
And then we had to, like, shoot stuff up to the moon to crash on the moon.
Steve-O.
To...
Yeah.
If we're doing so well with space, why aren't we trying to go inside the Earth and find the hollow Earth?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out today.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right. I'll just leave this going because I didn't have any music for this next one. In what year the film The African Queen opened at the Capitol Theater in New York City? Great movie.
Starring Humphrey Bogart.
And Catherine Hepburn.
Catherine, yep.
1944.
19...
Can I change my answer?
Okay.
Because that's when the war was going on.
Keep standing there, Steve-O. He'll keep guessing.
1947.
See, I was going to go earlier. I was going to say 40.
52.
Okay.
All right, so on this date in what year, Ben and Jerry's introduced an ice cream flavor? called Fish Food.
Nah.
Named after the rock group? Fish. It's P-H-I-S-H.
They're a jam band.
98.
What's a jam band?
They just jam, man.
Okay.
Kind of like Grateful Dead.
Okay.
Kind of like what Dave Matthews became, in my opinion.
Alrighty.
Yes. He plays for 2 hours, you get to see 5 songs.
All on the watchtower.
Yes.
6 hours later, watchtower. 1996.
97. All right, fresh from their fresh from their appearance on Jimmy Fallon. Let's go into today.
So good.
Today is Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day.
Okay.
You know any girls who like math?
Nope.
The girl who played Winnie on Wonder Years is a math whiz.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Today's the Great American Spit Out, part of the Through with the Chew week.
Through with the Chew.
Today is Love Your Pet Day.
Oh, Panda.
He does. He loves her.
Oreo.
She's a good cat.
I got a good dog.
Good.
It's Cherry Pie Day.
Oh.
Really?
That sounds
amazing.
Are you
a fan?
My favorite kind of
a la mode?
My favorite kind of pie is this pie that my grandmother used to make, and now my mom makes it. Now Dawn can make it. It's called Cheerio Cream Pie.
Ooh. And, of course, we live in New Mexico. See plenty of these as you go out enjoying your favorite restaurants.
Meth heads.
Tumbleweeds.
It's actually National Margarita Day.
Ah.
Today's also Hoodie Who Day. Do you guys know that?
Hoodie Who!
Yeah, now listen to this, guys. We're going to have to work on this.
Okay.
At high noon local time, citizens are asked to go outdoors and yell,
hootie-hoo!
To chase away winter and make ready for spring.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
In the midst of our 40-mile-an-hour winds.
I'll do it.
First comes the wind, and then they used to say the rain, but here we say, first comes the wind, then the juniper.
Yeah, the juniper.
So enjoy. That is all.
All right. We got a great show for you today. It is Thursday, Theology Thursday, featuring Brian Nissen and Jared Petro. Our dear friend Kevin Banks coming in to talk about an amazing worship night this Friday evening. We'll have Clay Schroff and special guest Rihanna.
Not Rihanna.
Not Rihanna, but it is her birthday. We got a jam-packed show. That's how we do on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Boo!
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Yeah. That was crazy, huh?
Crazy.
Surround sound.
There's a devil rattle.
Team Awesome Morning Party, welcome to the show. Steve-O and Mateo hanging out with you.
Good morning.
It is Thursday. I couldn't be more excited. I love this day. 9 o'clock hour, Theology Thursday. Coming up, Pastors Jared Petro and Brian Nissen will be joining us. It's going to be good times.
Excited.
Yeah. Crazy excited.
Excited.
You know, we got some dear friends leaving us.
Oh, we do.
Steve's going to be gone.
Dawn's leaving.
Going to be gone. Dawn's leaving.
Who else is leaving?
Most of them will be headed to the same area, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If not all of them. That's kind of interesting.
They're all going to Nashville.
Speaking of Nashville, we mentioned this yesterday. A Tennessee bill is trying to change things around a bit and confuse America a little more. March 9th, we will be springing forward. Daylight savings time. And apparently scientists have proven it takes some people weeks to get on the new schedule, especially kids, small children. It's an invention that's no longer needed. And Tennessee might be done turning its clocks back. It's clocks back.
It's clocks back.
It's clocks back.
Clocks back.
Yes. So here's the thing. State's House State Government Subcommittee has approved a bill that would end the practice of adjusting the clocks twice a year effective in the summertime.
Woo!
Effectively giving the state permanent daylight saving time. In a Facebook poll, 70% of Tennesseans like the idea of putting an end to all this clock-changing nonsensical stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. If only Tennessee ends the practice, those in the neighboring states have to make adjustments 5 months of the year when there's no daylight savings time. Mm. So we got a question of the day. Is it time to just get rid of daylight savings time?
I think so.
I hate it. You know what's really frustrating, though, is if there's only a handful of people that get rid of it. It needs to become like an American thing where we say, hey, guys, can we just agree that this sucks? Because right now, Arizona makes me crazy. Because I never know when I call my sister if it's, wait, are you with us right now?
Are you with them?
Are you with California? Who are you? Who are you with? Who are you here for? What?
Nobody knows.
505-338-3700, the phone number. I love this idea. Thank you, Tennessee. I hope it spreads out to the nation. But here's the thing. Isn't Tennessee split anyways? Like half of it's central and like...
It's not split. The very corner, the very eastern corner, like Knoxville and stuff, eastern.
That's so confusing.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a little more. It's not like the whole... It's not straight in the middle. And it's not the very corner. It's like in between.
That would be confusing, still being in the same state.
Kentucky's confusing.
Really? Because
when you're driving up to Kentucky, the southern part of Kentucky and the eastern part are central. But then it splits in the middle somehow diagonally. And that's like...
Mountain?
No, I'm sorry. Eastern and central.
Eastern and central. Okay.
It's weird. It's really weird how Kentucky is.
Yeah.
It's at Elizabethtown. When you get to Elizabethtown... You go into Eastern time.
See, that's all confusing to me. 505-338-3700. Static.
Yeah, I want to get rid of daylight savings time, too. I used to live in Louisville, Kentucky, and just across the river was Indiana, and they had gotten rid of daylight savings time. Mm. And just a little bit to the south of Louisville was Central time.
Right. That's
right. Even though that doesn't make any sense.
Kentucky is the most confusing state to drive through.
There to get it, but you went south, and you got Central time. You go north, and you get... I don't know what time. I think it's Eastern, but not on daylight.
Yeah.
And it was just a big mess.
It's weird.
Like, there were a couple of good movie theaters outside of Louisville, but nobody went to them because they were afraid they'd miss their show. It just needs to go. The kids hate it.
Yeah.
We try to do it like half an hour in 2 days, and it never worked.
No.
Never.
Yeah. See, unreal. I'm with you on that. I'm with you. Thanks for the call.
We're living in a land of confusion.
Right. Static!
Hey, guys. You're talking about the time change
thing
this morning? Try living in Needles your entire life. And having Arizona just right across the river. You can see it, but they're on a different time than you. And
not always, though, right? Because sometimes Arizona's in Pacific time.
Yeah, sometimes we were on the same time, but it gets really confusing trying to go to the movies.
Man.
Okay. What theater are we going to? Okay, what time does it start?
Which time zone is that
California
theater in?
California time, Arizona time. It's very confusing.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. See, let's do away with it. I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, and especially living here now in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And calling my grandparents that still live in Needles, it gets really confusing. So I'm like, we can't call them yet. It's too early or whatever. It's like, wait, what time are you guys on? So
unreal.
Yeah. Do away with it. I agree.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye, guys.
We need to start a petition.
We're going to start
a petition. Make it happen. Stever.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. Don't go talking like Indiana fixed it because Indiana's northwest. Northwest Indiana.
Yeah.
They go with the Chicago time.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So if you're like in Gary, Indiana or Griffith, Highland, whatever, Indiana. It goes with whatever Chicago's doing, which is in Illinois.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's all messed up.
Ugh. All right. We got to figure this out. Static.
Is the daylight change time today?
No.
You're just talking about it.
Yeah, we're just talking about it.
Okay. You guys freaked me out.
See? March 9th.
This is how people around Tennessee will feel if they pass this bill. But maybe if the whole country passed it, it would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I kind of like daylight savings, personally.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
This is a compliment from Thomas, by the way.
Hey, buddy.
Because that one time a year when I get an extra hour of sleep, it feels great.
Yeah, see, I like falling back. I don't like springing forward.
In
March, we're going to spring forward.
Yeah, we are.
Can we pass a bill where we only have to fall back?
Yeah, we're just constantly
just falling back.
Just always just keep putting it back. More sleep.
Yes. The procrastination bill.
Oh, that's procrastination. I'm down for that.
Well, I don't know. It might not ever pass because they just keep putting it off.
That was
Thanks,
a good one.
Calvin from Hobbs, everybody. Amazing. Static.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Daylight saving time was nice when you were younger.
Yeah.
Really, though? Like, when it sprang forward, I was always upset because I had to get up for church earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the better you got up earlier, the sooner it gets over.
What are you talking about? This is all relative. This is relative.
Man. Amazing. So you're a fan. You're an advocate of daylight saving time.
Well, not now in my age.
Oh, okay. All right.
So okay. you think it'd
love
be...
You guys.
Love you, too.
Bye.
So, yeah. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes daylight saving time.
I put up a question on Facebook. Question of the day. Is it finally time to get rid of daylight savings time?
Yeah, if it's up to a state house state... the state's house state government subcommittee...
Of Tennessee.
Gosh! They have approved a bill that would end the practice of adjusting the clocks. But I don't want it to go state... It needs to go national.
It needs to be so confusing. Boom. It needs to be every... What if it went time zone? Like Eastern time zone did it, and then Central time zone did it.
That's still confusing.
That's how we do it, though. That's how we do it. We each do it an hour after each other.
Oh, man.
That's more confusing. Yeah, the problem would be like Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, maybe Virginia, and then... Arkansas and Louisiana, all of these states, you would be so confused going into Tennessee. You'd be like, wait, what time? What?
I just figured out my stance. I figured out what I'm going to run on.
What is it?
You see, we've been talking about right now with this next election, nobody really knows what side is what and who's doing what, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, who's going to be the Republican? Who's going to be the Democrat?
Yeah.
Who's going to care?
I don't know.
Both sides kind of suck right now. So here's the deal. Steve O. Jeter, 2016.
Oh, no.
I campaigned to end daylight saving time nationally.
Nationally.
That's all I'm running on.
That's it. That's the only platform.
I'm going to run for president.
That's a united front. Most people, I think, would be like, hey, I'll vote for that guy.
Yeah.
He's going to get rid of daylight saving time. Well, what's he going to do about this? I don't know. We'll have more time to handle that once we get rid of daylight savings time.
Financial Peace University.
There you go.
So Dave Ramsey has taught me a thing or two about budgeting. All right.
Oh, look out.
I can fix the budget. I can end daylight saving time.
Can you eliminate all the clocks?
Oh, I can't do that.
Wait, what if we just get rid of time altogether? That's what I'm going to run on in 2016.
Wait, what? You were going to be my running mate.
He's going to abolish daylight savings time. I'm going to abolish time. You will never die, and you will never be born. It's beautiful.
Oh, man. 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio. Question of the day. Is it time for daylight saving time to end? I believe so.
We think so.
Yeah. Tell us what you think. Right now, some Cool Hand Luke.
Woo!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Good morning!
On Static Radio.
Traffic report for Chrissy, because she's on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking Dawn. Hey, we have construction I-25 in Paseo, single line traffic, and I would encourage you to find an alternate route if you can, because it looks pretty backed up around there. But we have a stalled vehicle on I-40 East at 4th Street, exit 159A. If you are going 40 eastbound, say you were going to go that way and then take 25 south so you can get to the airport. I don't know why anybody would be doing that this morning. But you should look out, because traffic really slows down behind the stalled vehicle to about 25 miles an hour at the slowest point. So plan for that, Chrissy and Dawn.
Traffic brought to you by our wives, who even though when we do traffic at the normal given time, still don't think it's enough because it doesn't meet their standards.
Yay, standards.
That's right.
Standards are cool.
505-91... I'm just kidding.
No.
Traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch.
405.
Wait, what's the number? 338?
Yeah, 367. No, 3669.
There you go.
Yeah.
505.
You're getting it.
505-338. 3669.
They took Bridge. They didn't take I-40.
Good job, guys.
Because I gave her traffic.
I have a lot of energy right now because I'm enjoying what they call a depth charge.
Oh, yeah.
Over at SoPo. And if you need a little pickup in your step, go get one.
Speaking of a charge and a pickup in your step.
Whoa.
Guardians of the Galaxy got a pickup in their step yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read about this?
I did.
The trailer became a social media smash. After debuting Tuesday night on Jimmy Kimmel Live, the footage for the upcoming Marvel film, we posted it to our Facebook page.
We did. It was great.
Not only us, but 88,000 mentions across Twitter, Facebook, and various blogs in a 12-hour period. If that means nothing to you, in the first 24 hours of their trailer debuts, Man of Steel attracted 75,000 social mentions. And The Amazing Spider-Man had 96,000 mentions.
And
that was in 24 hours. This was a 12-hour period.
Those were released in the morning while people were awake.
So awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy was released at night on Jimmy Kimmel when most people were asleep.
Outshining Spider-Man and Man of Steel right now, this new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. I was reading some comments yesterday, though, and most people were saying, I don't get it, but I want to see it.
Yeah.
So at least people want to see it, but most, you know, when we showed Mitch even, she said, okay,
well, see,
I don't really get it.
That's a testament to the trailer.
Yeah.
Because even though you're like, what's going on? You're like, I want to watch it.
See, and we got home yesterday.
I want to watch it.
And the kids walked in, and I said, Guardians of the Galaxy trailer! And we sat on the couch and popped it on the Apple TV and watched that thing multiple times in a row. Mm. Like, it ended, and it was like, can we watch it again?
We can watch it again. Of course we can, kiddos.
I loved it.
It was great.
I'm excited. Marvel's doing some great things, so why am I playing Superman music? I don't know. Static!
Mello! Yeah, dude, my son, we were listening to Comics Corner last night, me and my son.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you know, he has comic books, he has like some first editions, I don't know which ones, bro, but he has some ones that he has, and I'm trying to, you know, he kind of strayed away from it,
mm-hmm.
so I'm trying to get him back into it, right? So we've been listening to Comics Corner and getting him up to date, and he's kind of getting back into it. He's 16, man, you know, so he thinks he's, you know. So, and then he saw, oh, check this out. Boom, he puts it on the Guardians of the Galaxy, man. It looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's going to be a super funny, like, but I believe it's going to have a, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, just the title alone. It's going to have a plot to it that's going to be.
We hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking it is. It's going to be great. Yeah, we're definitely going to go check that out.
If he's wanting to get back into comics, that's one comic that I highly recommend.
Yeah, it's good.
It's only 11 issues in for this current series. And,
well, he was saying something, too, like when it ends, that you could just buy the one book that has it all in it.
There you go.
Do that.
Yeah, they released graphic novels of it. So there's two volumes out so far of Guardians of the Galaxy. I have them.
Yeah, and you know what's so cool? I just it's a little testimony, man, because my boy, he bucks a little bit here and there, you know what I mean? And and he said, man, when we were listening to Comics Corner and just the way you guys bring across Jesus and everything, he was, I could just see he's like focused, right? And then he goes, you know what? I wish all Christians were like that.
Oh, wow.
Bro, and I teared up a little bit, and I didn't show him, you know what I mean? But I was.
I didn't show him.
You know, I mean, I didn't want to I just didn't want to weird him out, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
So, like he just said, man, I wish, because, you know, we've had some pretty bad experiences, but man, he's like, man, why can't all Christians be like that, man? Those guys are cool. And he said, you guys look like this group, I forgot who it was, a TV show, like, two names, these guys. I'll text him right now.
Are we Flight of the Conchords?
Oh, man, I hope so.
Are you Brett and I'm Jermaine?
I hope so. I want to be married.
I don't know who it is, but I'll let me call you back, man, and I got to let you know.
Okay.
Let me text him.
All right.
Man, all right, man, love
I appreciate
you, bro.
You guys too, man. Right. I love you guys.
Love
you too. Amazing.
Bye.
Pool boy from Cruises.
See, we sound cool on the radio, but if you hung out with us, it'd be like, maybe
that was high praise, but at the same time, it's like, we're definitely both still human beings who make stupid mistakes.
I'm only human.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Born a man.
We got to take a quick break. Coming up, 8 o'clock hour, we've got some great guests lined up. I'm excited. Aspen Project, we got Clay Schroff. He's already in studio. He's hanging out in the background.
He's
just like
chilling,
you know, waiting for his time. Rayon's going to be coming in. Talking a little bit about Project Zoe, and Kevin Banks going to be talking about a worship night coming up this Friday,
so much
tomorrow,
stuff.
At New Covenant. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going
Man,
on.
I did a lot of research just then on Daylight Savings Time.
You did. We got to talk about that. Question of the day. It's posted. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Quick break. Right back with more of this. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome. Nicely done.
We think the same.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hello.
Happy Thursday?
Happy Thursday.
Okay, good. My days are all messed up this week.
It's okay.
Okay. I don't know why I'd be messed up. We have two exciting guests in studio, and they come in every Thursday. Well, one of them does. One of them has shown up twice in the last 6 months.
Right. It's all this confusing talk about daylight savings time.
I think
so. Throwing you off.
It really is.
And that's fine.
By the way, question of the day, is it finally time to get rid of daylight savings time? Tennessee, if they have their way, it will be done this March. That will be their final one. I feel like the nation should come along with them, but we'll see. Tell us what you think. We put it up there, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. But that's not what we're talking about right now. Right now, we got to get to something very, very important. And that is our dear friend, Rion, who's amazing.
Good morning.
Welcome. Morning. Good old Rioni.
Thanks.
Welcome to the program. Glad you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
I haven't seen you in forever.
Yeah,
it's
like
been at least
2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while. Well, no, we saw you at
the gala.
The gala.
Which
was
fun.
That was good times.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
Did you stay for the whole thing?
We did not stay for the whole thing.
Did you even stay for the dance?
We stayed for part of the dance.
Okay.
When you move over to the second ballroom, we kind of bounced.
They bounced, y'all.
They bounced. Wait, so you didn't even stay for the third dance? There was like...
I wasn't cool enough
to be invited.
There was
like the normal thing, and then there was like the... country thing, and then they made you go back, and then you danced in there. Did you go back for See, that was the dance.
I left during the second
one. Oh, you left during country.
Come on.
Well, you know.
Well, those have no idea
what
we're
talking
about.
That's why I listen to Static, because I'm not a big fan of country.
Because you love it so much?
Yeah.
Love country music over there.
So, obviously, Michelle is away.
She's at a conference.
Yeah.
We miss her.
We do.
Clay probably misses her more.
I'd say so.
I miss her more.
Yeah. Yeah. So where are we at with the Zoe of Project? What's going on right now? For those that have no idea what Project Zoe is, maybe they're listening for the first time, which, by the way, welcome. But what is Project Zoe?
Project Zoe is an organization that seeks to reach out to all young women, or women between the ages of 13 and 25, but particularly at-risk women, by giving them clothing. They come in and we... set out clothing for them. They can pick out 3 articles of clothing and 3 accessories.
Okay.
And then we seek to create a long-term relationship with them to help further life skills by creating workshops and hosting workshops, which they attend and then receive additional articles of clothing.
All right.
So really just about loving young women and loving them with the way Jesus loves us.
Now define at risk for those that are like, wait, what does that mean? I'm a young lady at risk for...
Well, they need to be referred by an organization
that's
working with these young ladies. They can't just come in on their own, but they can have someone that they're working with refer them to us.
Okay. And so what are you looking for right now as far as, I'm sure, volunteers?
Always.
Always. Clothing, accessories. How can people get stuff to you guys?
They can get stuff to us by dropping it off at our location.
Okay.
We usually have somebody there. We have somebody there on Tuesdays from 9 I'm sorry, 10 to 1
okay.
on Tuesdays and then Saturdays. So check our Facebook page
perfect.
For when. And then also there's phone numbers on the Facebook page. So you can call and arrange a drop-off
okay.
as well. But volunteer-wise, we're actually looking for some women who are available on Tuesday mornings to help pull the clothing for all of our appointments because the boutique is set up per appointment.
Okay.
So we're looking for some women who can come in and help with that. And then also some graphic designers is another need that we're looking for right now.
Now, I know normally with volunteer work with Project Zoe, since it is for at-risk women, you need female volunteers.
Yes.
When it comes to graphic design, do you need female volunteers or does it matter?
It does not matter.
Because it's hands
it's
off.
Graphic design. It's computers.
It's okay, good.
Yep.
It's good to know. I wanted to make sure because normally, you know, it's ladies only. So
typically it is. Yes.
Yeah. And I know there are some gentlemen out there who've been like, man, this is great. How can we get involved? And so that's a cool way. I'm really good with graphic design. Remember Mario Paint for the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
I could do a mean, like, Mario cartoon.
I could make a wonderful pixelated stick figure.
It was really great.
You guys need any pixelated stick figures?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not this
maybe
week.
For a t-shirt?
Oh, okay. We could do it if you ever want to go retro.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Retro's cool, man.
Even 16-bit. I mean, we're like,
I don't know. That's
shooting
pretty,
for the moon.
That's too much for
yeah.
me.
So
that's
we
like
posted,
Sega Genesis. I can't do that.
We posted information at our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Right now, you guys have a need for graphic designers, volunteers, just for all of the stuff, right?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into it behind the scenes. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved. We have our workshop, so we need volunteers who are interested in teaching a workshop and maybe being at the workshop. Of course, we need volunteers, to assist with the appointments. That's kind of a longer training type process.
Okay.
Because you'll be shadowing for a couple appointments before you kind of get out there and do it on your own. But we do ask all of our volunteers to come to orientation, and our next volunteer orientation is going to be on March.
You got this.
I got it.
I believe in you.
24th.
Boom! Nailed
from
it.
6 to 8:30.
Okay.
So space is limited. We're trying to keep it personal. So about 10 volunteers is what we're going to be have room for on
okay.
the 24th of March.
There we go. 24th of March. And again, posting everything at our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You are awesome. Thank you for helping and doing awesome things.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Well, we love Aspen Project. We love the Schroffs and we love everything that you guys are doing. And so anytime we get to talk to you about what you're doing in the community, because we get to be the cool ones because we're on the radio, so people go, look at all they're doing, and we're like, yeah, we just stand in a room and talk. You guys are actually the hands and feet and going out and helping people, so anytime we can draw attention to those in the community actually doing something rather than just cracking jokes and acting like idiots, it's always good. So thank you for going out and doing that. It's incredible. So Clay, are you gonna step in? I like your shirt that you got at the Gap.
At the Gap.
I knew it.
You fall
I
in.
Saw it in the window. I saw it in the window. I thought you were leaving. I'm like, well, bye.
Bye, Rayon.
We'll see you later.
You know, and it's folks like Rayon that are actually devoting hours and hours and hours of their time making sure that Project Zoe is where it's at today. You know, so I wanted to say thank you.
Yeah.
Because it's volunteers like her that are taking time away from their family and their regular work schedule that are making it possible. But what it is doing is it's saving... It's putting the message of the gospel into to skin. It puts Christ in skin, is way I say it anyhow.
Yeah.
And when these girls come in, they get to meet people who aren't judging them. They're not condemning their past, and they're just being loved on. And but I want to say this: a lot of the volunteers who aren't working directly with the girls, and Rayon does, but even a lot of them, they're putting in hours and hours and hours of their time to make that possible. So,
yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it, so thank you to all the volunteers. It's important.
Well, it's cool to see this growing and growing and growing, and obviously the Aspen Project. You guys do so much in the community. It seems like you just keep branching off with these great new ideas, and Project Zoe being one of these incredible visions that has sprung out from it. What are you working on right now?
You know what? With we have a T-shirt line getting ready to come out for both, not only the Aspen Project, but Project Zoe.
Okay.
And that should be up and have a website of its own by the next time I'm on the show.
Okay.
So when Michelle gets back, hopefully she gets to let the public know about that.
All but right.
Stay in touch with us on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're working with several different churches. The churches have really, the Christian community as a whole, has really grasped a hold of the youth.
Yeah,
you know, and it's radio shows like this, and it's definite proof that if we're going to save our future as a Christian community, if we're going to just not let America go down the drain, we really need to do stuff with our kids.
Yeah,
and you work with we work with orphan kids. We're doing a lot with the pro-life ministries right now. That's getting ready to kick off the 40 Days for Life stuff. And then stuff like Project Zoe, what people don't understand is when we don't catch the kids in time, they turn into at-risk youth.
Mm.
And right now, of course, we're only working with the females. We're working on some plans for the boys, but boys are hard.
Man, yeah. And it I'll tell you what, it is, to all the volunteers, it is work, man. And you don't realize, A, how much work it is, and B, on the flip side of it, how rewarding it is. With my own boys, even at home, yesterday we were building a raised bed for my wife for the garden. You know, we're putting the backyard together and just sawing away and drilling holes and stuff like that with the boys. It takes patience because they're little dudes and don't have a grasp on exactly how things are done yet. And so there's a lot of explanation that goes into it. But on the flip side of that, it's so rewarding just spending that time doing something for someone else, teaching a child something. And it doesn't have to be a, hey, we're going to dig into the book of Job now. Mm-hmm. It can just be that loving quality time where you're building something together. You're doing something together. And guess what? Yes, it takes time, but it's incredible when you are mentoring that next generation, teaching them something.
Life lessons.
Man, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, most businesses are even built on biblical principles, and the ones that are super successful because, you know, it is truly a book of the Bible really tells us how to live our lives successfully.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times you don't have to quote verse in scripture. You just got to live it.
Yeah.
And truthfully, the life lessons are the most important because mm-hmm. when you're living what you're telling people to do,
yeah,
and then they go see it in the book, you earn the right to tell them about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. AspenProject.org for all the details on that. And, of course, we posted information on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio, as yeah. always. I love Thursdays. It's fun to hang out for the little moments we get.
Thank you for having us. Please support your local static radio, folks.
There you go.
Yeah.
Your chance, your opportunity to do that at mystaticradio.com. You can find out details about how that works, how you can become a monthly contributor to Static Radio if you're enjoying it. Are you ready to take care of some traffic?
Oh, yeah, let's
do that. It's about that time, so.
Well, why not?
Thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out.
Yeah, thanks for always having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
More traffic for you as soon as the computer loads.
There you go.
There it is. We have construction I-25 in Paseo. It looks like the stalled vehicle that was on 40 eastbound has been moved.
Okay.
But around, all around town, there's just your typical morning commute traffic. So be careful and pay attention to what you're doing.
There you go. Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Rocking Americanos, lattes, some breakfast this morning.
Yep.
I like this crazy orange glazed pecan muffin thing.
Was it good?
Amazing. Yeah.
Cool.
Threw it in the microwave for a solid 10 seconds.
Boom!
Yeah, loved it. Check them out, 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. On the way, going to be talking with Kevin Banks. He's got a rad worship evening planned tomorrow night.
Don't miss it.
I'm really stoked. Yeah, it's the Duke City Gospel Showcase.
Woo!
Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about that. We got some friends who are actually playing in that. So,
Yeah,
that is on the way. To get you there, we got the Almost. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Three, two, one.
Welcome back.
Now, back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Happy Thursday. We put on MJ because I wanted to see if you just immediately start dancing.
Did it work?
It did. Look
hey!
At this.
Hey!
Kevin Banks in studio.
Man,
I'm
currently
doing his best moonwalk.
I haven't gotten that link yet.
Oh.
Guys, we're going to get you all the information you need, but it might take a little bit.
Yeah. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. An amazing evening coming up tomorrow night.
That's right.
And it's free. Kevin, tell us what's going on, man.
Well, Steve-O, it was going to be the event of the year if you were there.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
We're too busy,
you
Kevin.
You and Matt.
You can't call me like 2 weeks before
it
happens.
It was not 2 weeks. It was a week and a half.
Kevin, we have to go. We have a party with Prince.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
All right.
We have to go meet with the president.
I hear you. I understand. Well,
we got things to do,
you
man.
Know, our first annual gospel showcase.
Yes.
This is a Ferris Center brainchild. Ferris is here with me in the building.
Hey.
Yes.
Greetings.
Welcome.
Greetings. He's a little bit taller than me.
Yeah, I feel really short right now.
Not me. I feel medium.
It's like the moment. It's like the moment in Lord of the Rings when the hobbits meet the Ents for the first time. Those walking tree dudes.
No, I would be an elf in this situation.
What?
I would be an elf.
Are you an elf?
So I'm the hobbit?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Am
Dude,
I like?
Look at me.
What's the guy's name? Gandalf. Or
Gandalf.
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 Man,
get out of here, Kevin.
I'm sorry. If we were talking about, you know, like The Last Dragon or something like that, I'm all in.
Man. Okay. Come on.
That's fine.
Come on.
Hey, Gospel Showcase.
Yes.
Yeah. Duke City Gospel Showcase.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, New Covenant Church on Paseo, Wyoming. This is the first time that we're going to do this. Basically bringing Albuquerque's best talent.
Yeah.
Whether you dance, sing, you're a band, etc. I'm actually going to let the brainchild, the brain master over here, this whole thing, talk on the mic, which is Ferris Center.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on with this gospel showcase. I mean, it's the flyer. It looked like you ran out of room. There's so many people performing tomorrow.
Yeah, we thought about doing a front and back, but people don't read all that. So yeah, what's going to happen? So it's basically just bringing people from different churches. There's so much here. And normally you have to go to someone's church to hear them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to give a shout out to Nick. I called him. Well, I Facebooked him and he never got me back. So.
Dang.
Nick, if you can hear me. Yeah. I played on Nick's first CD and I just got no love from that guy.
No love.
He cut his hair. He just changes.
He changed, man.
Just changed. Cut his
hair. You changed, Nick.
That's messed up.
You know, jeans are tighter. Hair is shorter.
Gosh.
Is that Nick Cannon we're talking about? I'm lost here.
Yeah, it is. It is, Kevin. It's Nick Cannon.
He got married.
Yeah.
He got married to Mariah Carey, and he's so cool.
Big time now.
He just
tight
changed.
Pants.
Tight pants and bright shoes.
Weirdo.
So, what you know, Friday is just going to be all around good time for people to come around and sing and worship and have a good time and you know, show some love to God, show some love to Jesus, and show some love to each other.
Yeah, dude. Cool. I know our dear friend Chuck Elmore is going to be playing at the singing. Who all? There's seriously a list of performers going to be playing this gospel showcase.
We had you slated to play the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, Steve-O. And then Matt was going to bring some bongos. But
I was bringing a kazoo, Kevin.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Kazoo
really,
solo.
Man.
I forgot about the
it's
kazoo.
It's okay.
We wanted to play. We really did.
I know you did.
But no, again, did. Remember how you called me a week and a half before?
It was like a week ago.
It was a week ago.
It was a week. It gets shorter every time we talk about
it. It really does.
It was 4 days ago.
I know.
I called you 3 hours ago, Steve-O.
I just told him like right before we came on the air.
Yep. And the good news is he is still on the air. So
booyah.
Look at this.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Brought you in.
We're giants. You're
you
just
really
afraid
are.
To kick us out.
I really am. I'm kind of scared. It's a little intimidating. I'm not going to lie. So, I'm not going to lie.
Let's talk about the talent that's going to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have Chuck Elmore. Mm-hmm. We have Gary Archibek. I hope I said that right. We have someone named Kelly Campbell. She's a praise and worship leader at New Hope.
Okay.
Which is Bishop Cooper. Man, so many people. We have a group called Totally Committed.
Okay.
Three young ladies. They sound amazing. We had practice last night, and I was looking like, wow.
That's cool.
I wanted to get off the drums and play spoons, but
yes!
They would have looked at me like, what are you doing? So it didn't happen.
I went to rehearsal last night, and I had a tambourine, but they kicked me out.
Mm. Man.
Well, you know, light-skinned people can play tambourines really good.
This is true.
It's true.
I can snap my fingers.
No, Kevin. You need to come be on the kazoo squad with me.
Just teach me, Matt. Just teach
me. We're the
me.
Kazoo Squadron.
I'm with you.
Man. We need a fourth.
Oh, okay. You're I'm in. Here. You're I'm in. Here.
We want to play next time.
Y'all are coming.
We have a band called She and Hims.
We do.
We need to get them back together.
Yeah, we do.
We really do.
We got to fly some people in from Nashville.
She and Hims can be the headliner for
That'll
the next.
Good. My wife and then a bunch of us dudes.
That'll work. As long as I support you with the kazoo, I'm
all You're in, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's going to be good.
One Accord is featured as well.
Yes. Have One Accord. Yes, One Accord. They won. There's a competition in New Mexico called New Mexico's Best, and they won last year.
Wow.
Yes, they're pretty awesome.
So and the best is going to be there.
The best will be there. The best 2 years running will be there. Wow. The person that won the year before that, she will be there also. Her name is. I won't mess her name up, so I'm gonna call her Dee Dee.
Nice.
Yeah, Devon. Yeah, I'm gonna call her Dee Dee.
Yeah. I like that.
So we
I love it.
You know, we have some new artists that are kind of debuting.
Okay.
That have been around Albuquerque for a while. Maurice Dale is going to come out and perform kind of open. Well, I shouldn't say open up, but, you know, he's going to do his thing. Maurice is a very talented young musician from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm really interested to see how it's going to blend together because you have totally different genres, if you will. It's this gospel showcase. Different types of worship are going to be showcased there. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Theology Thursday, we're actually going to be talking about this because, you know, did you guys hear about this pastor who was bit by a poisonous snake and passed away because he was like snake handling and crazy? And yeah. So obviously none of that at the gospel
showcase.
Right? No.
Okay.
No, that was like in crazy place like Tennessee or
from
something.
From where I'm from.
Yeah, where he's from. Right. So we're going to have like some like cool, we're going to have like some groove going.
Hey, I'm grooving.
All right. And then we're probably going to have, like, some interest. We got Chuck Elmore there, so we got the guitars represented.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more interested to see the audience, to see how it's gonna go down. Because, you know, I saw, what's that movie, The Preacher's Wife, with Denzel Washington?
Yes.
And so they're, like, clapping, and they got the choir. Is there any choir stuff going on? Like the
Not this one.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, I really do, because I'm interested, because there's so many different styles of worship. I'm curious to know how it's going to like blend. It sounds cool.
Let's just say that with every song, there will be someone there to clap on every beat.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like
that. On every offbeat, too.
You're going to handle every
beat. Well, obviously, you guys walked in studio. I started Billie Jean, and you just started dancing and clapping. So there's something that happens when music comes on that you just can't. Music, you can't stay still.
It's a language. It's very, you know, it's one of those things that captures you, right?
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do with this, with the gospel showcase.
There you go.
It's not just for folks that believe, but folks that don't know, folks that are lost. We want people to come out and have a good time.
Enjoy good music.
Yeah. We have spoken word. We have
mime dancers.
Mime dancers, yes.
Nope, not coming.
Stop it right now.
Mime dancers.
You got mime dancers?
We have mime dancers.
Like during the music there. Or like just all of a sudden it's like this is their worship?
Guys, that's where I draw the line.
You know,
can't
Hold
do
on.
It.
Teo and I are going to give an interpretation of the mime dancing. Ready?
I got to see this.
Go.
Well, that's pretty good. That's really good.
No, it's not good.
Yeah.
Kevin,
that's terrible.
They can't
you
tell.
You can't talk.
Wait,
because
you didn't
miming.
Because you did not have music behind you.
Okay, hang on.
Music and mime.
Feel the rhythm. Feel the mime.
Is there going to be any of this music?
Let's hear.
No, there's going to be none of that.
I'm just wondering. You know, there's always always like one. There's one metal band that shows up.
Can we just stick with Marvin Gaye?
What's happening?
Right.
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, don't let it be that out of place.
No.
Okay.
It's actually praise and worship. It's worship miming, if you will.
Worship miming.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I just made that up.
Okay.
Worship miming. Now the cool thing about music is a tongue that can speak to anyone. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool that you guys have a gospel showcase with so many different genres and type of music, miming, which is fine. I'm not used to that, but that's fine. And it can speak to anybody.
I'm not going to lie. I'm serious. I'm interested to see the audience.
Up right now. He's a little scared right now.
Yeah.
Are there clowns?
You got to see it.
You guys got a clown troop coming through?
Is Salty making an appearance? Is the singing songbook going to be there? We got mimes. We got Salty, the singing songbook.
We have the monkeys that come out, you know, the little box. And
I love it.
Tips.
It's going to be great.
No, Kevin! Kevin!
The first annual Duke City Gospel Showcase.
Yeah, give me where it's happening, what time, and I need a web address.
New Covenant Church on Wyoming and Paseo.
Right over that way.
Pastor Dave Rao. Did I say his name right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, yeah, Pastor Dave Rao. He is the pastor over there, and he has opened his doors to us to just say, come on in, do whatever you need, move some chairs around.
It's cool that it's free, too.
Yes,
it is a free event.
Free.
All of these different artists coming together for the purpose of worship.
It starts at 7 o'clock.
7 p.m.
Doors open at 6:30.
6:30. You want to be there. You want to be there and stand in line and just wait to come in. We're going to look at you outside while you're in line.
Yeah.
And wave at you.
The mimes are going to be looking.
Yes. Yes, they will be. And they will be waving.
They're going to watch you.
With the white gloves.
So start time 7, you don't put an end time because let's be honest, you know this is going 9 hours, right?
Maybe,
it's a gospel showcase.
Maybe 10 hours.
Maybe
you
10.
You never know. So
oh, man.
Pack a lunch.
So doors at 6:30, right?
Yes.
Doors at 6:30.
I'm bringing a hanky. I'm going to start dancing. I can't wait to see the mix of people that are going to be at this gospel showcase.
You know, that's the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is just the blended worship that we're going to have on Friday night. I'm excited. I don't think there's anything that's been done like this before. Like I said, Ferris's brainchild, something that I've thought about for a while. I'm really excited.
It's cool to see people come together for the sake of Jesus Christ, because it doesn't matter what church you go to, what denomination you are. When you're getting together, you're going to worship. It's universal because you have that fervent love for Jesus, and it's going to show forth. It's going to shine. I cannot wait for this tomorrow night at New Covenant. And we posted the details at our Facebook page.
Is there a link like on the web or like a website people can go to and get more info? Or
they can go to our Facebook page.
Perfect.
Facebook.com/DukeCity.showcase.
Booyah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got all the information. Like us and just say you're coming and all that good stuff. If you are a mime dancer in the city, come out.
Yeah.
We need some short people to come.
Well, amen. That's us.
We need shorter.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your kneecap height shorter.
You got to meet our midday girl, Mitch. She's about 5 feet tall.
She's short.
So
Mitch,
she's really
Mitch just
short.
Hugged me, and I was like, who is this child running around the studio?
What child is this?
Perfect.
It was great.
Hey, so, you know, this is the first. We're going to feature gospel choirs in about 3 months when we do another showcase.
Yes.
It's going to be ever evolving. So we may have a mime showcase probably in 6 months, but we'll see. We'll get back to that.
You realize some mime's going to call in offended right now, and unfortunately, they're going to be yelling at us. We're going to be like, "Hello, hello."
That's when you Skype,
and they're just going crazy on
oh
the other
gosh.
End. And we're like, "I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying. I'm sorry."
Is he praising or is he? What's happening?
Is he talking about
Can somebody interpret the mime, please? Oh, I know that one. All right, we're
everybody
number one.
Knows that.
We're number one.
All right. Thanks, mime. All right, cool, man. Cool.
Now, for real, you guys don't miss this one. Tomorrow night, doors are at 6:30.
That's
right. New Covenant Church for the first annual Duke City Gospel Showcase.
We posted all the information at our Facebook page, or you can go straight to theirs, facebook.com/DukeCity.showcase. So there you go. Thank you, guys. Oh, beautiful.
I just said thank you in mind.
He just mimed it.
Okay.
He just mimed
the
it.
People. No. Nope.
I'm excited, and I hope it does really well, and you guys keep doing this more and more and more, because this city needs unity. And I love seeing different churches come together and just worship.
It's a great thing.
You know, and the last thing I got to say about this event that I'm excited about is it is free.
Yeah.
We are going to collect a love offering for Dream Big, of course. Dream Big. We're behind Cuts for Kids in August.
Yeah.
So we're raising money for that. And going forward, every showcase that we have, we'll do the same, and we'll implement another nonprofit each time we do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the benefit of doing something like this, is to give back to our community. Not only bring us together, but give back.
I like that.
I know a great nonprofit organization in town that is listener supported.
That would be Static.
I've heard of it.
The next showcase raising money for Static.
Oh, man.
Hey, that would be fun.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there. Check out all the details. We posted it. And as always, man, I love hanging out with you.
Steve-O, Matt, I appreciate you, too. I really do.
Thanks
for having me.
And you brought
again.
A new friend. Now we have
I did.
A new friend for the studio.
It's like every time I come, I have a new friend.
Yeah.
This is a pretty awesome bromance you guys have.
Yeah, it's
here.
Good. Is
and
today
you are hilarious, so
yeah.
we can keep you.
Is today your day off? Is that today?
No.
Okay.
No. I just got off work.
That's a movie.
No.
Ferris.
No. It's okay. I wasn't falling for it. Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
If I would have mimed it, everybody would have got it.
Is that why I'm lost? Because you didn't mime it? Yes. I'm confused.
Wow.
Kevin, I'm going to kick you out of the Kazoo Squad.
I'm so confused this morning. I'm so upset right now.
We got to take a quick break. Coming up, Tao's favorite hour of the week.
Yay!
Theology Thursday featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro. We have a lot to discuss this morning, including the theological implications of snake handling.
And Hollow Earth.
We're going to talk Hollow Earth.
Listen to my research.
Man, we're going to talk about the fact that scientists recently have figured out that apparently camels in the day of Genesis were not domesticated, thus trying to disprove the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about what that means.
Lots of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Right around the corner on Theology Thursday. But again, I love it. Tomorrow night, First Annual Gospel Showcase.
Yes.
Duke City what?
All the information you need is available at our Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio, so go check it out.
Quick break, right back with Theology Thursday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
And begin.
Good morning!
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to Theology Thursday. Our producer is in the next room.
Doug.
Rocking glow sticks like a champion.
We call him Dougie Fresh.
Yes. Dougie Doug. Taking your phone calls, 505-338-3700.
Oh, yeah.
He's our call screener of glory.
This has become my favorite. It used to be New Music Tuesday, but I think this is right up there with it.
Yeah, one of my favorite hours of the week.
I love this hour.
Next to 3 a.m. That's probably my favorite hour.
Cause it's,
that's like deep sleep.
It's 3 a.m. You must be lonely. Matchbox 20.
Oh, the theological implications thereof. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. If you're just joining us for the first time, Theology Thursday, a one-hour call-in show centered around God's Word and what it has to say. And let's be honest, there are times when you're reading and you go, what?
What?
That's what this is for. So if you've ever had questions about, well, anything really, we'll take them. We got a couple pastor friends in studio. One of them is a monk and the creator of IPA. So they brewed it up in the mountains when he was doing his monk-ness. Yeah. And that would be Pastor Brian Nixon.
Well, it's great to be here. Steve-O and Mateo, you guys do such a great job. And you know, it is true. People are responding. I had some folks come up to me just the other day and said, hey, we listened to you on Theology Thursday, and though we didn't agree with you, we appreciate, meaning me, we appreciate all that you guys are doing on this radio station.
That's
so
cool.
Kudos to Steve-O and Matt for brainstorming this and making it a reality.
And also kudos to the pastor to my right. That is Pastor Jarrett Petro. He is a carpenter. He does floors. And he is also the inventor of the whiskey casks. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I wonder theologically how that works, both of you guys inventing different kinds of alcohol.
Yeah. Well, just ask. You know, it's funny because my son is named Noah. And so, you know the story of Noah after.
Right. That dude got
coming
housed.
Out of that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that all has to do with UV radiation after the early or young Earth viewpoint. So,
yeah.
Or he just went through a really traumatic thing called the flood, and he needed to wind down a little bit.
Hey. So it's Theology Thursday. It's a very serious show.
Hey, can I give good news? I mean, apart from that, it's Theology Thursday.
Absolutely.
Here's some good news. Parchments Bookstore now has a 1-800 number.
What?
So for people who are always going and listening, hey, where do I get those resources? I don't live in Albuquerque. I can't necessarily get to the store and get that book. You can call 1-844. That is an 800 number.
Oh,
Parchments. 844 Parchments. So, Steve-O, what's the number?
1-844 Parchments.
Nice.
844 Parchments. And not only that, they're putting up a website.
What if you can't spell?
A website for this program.
That's cool.
So parchments.com will have the books that we talk about on this radio station available for people. So parchments.com or 844 Parchments, call that number and you could get
some resources.
That's pretty cool. I like that. It is Theology Thursday. We have a lot of questions today. So throughout the week, I've been loving the response from listeners. We've been getting inundated with emails throughout the week from different people saying, hey, I listened to the podcast. Here's my question. So we already have five different questions, not including the things we wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into Theology Thursday. I see we already have a phone line taken. We have one phone line available for you, 505-338-3700 is the phone number. And we wanted to start with the question that we got yesterday from Shock Therapy Live that we weren't able to answer, that I really felt we could tackle today. Stephanie Bear, listener, she calls in regularly. Great lady. She had a question yesterday, and it's this. She wanted to know, when does the soul enter the body? My husband and I recently miscarried around 4 to 5 weeks. We wonder if there was a soul made for that child, or if God knew it wouldn't take, and so he didn't send out a soul. Or maybe will the soul reserved for that child be reserved for the next time we get pregnant? Or was there a soul attached that God has taken up to heaven for us to meet later in heaven? The basic question is, when does the soul take, if you will? When does God place a soul into?
It's a great question, and we do appreciate you answering or asking it
and
there on
Facebook.
And being
vulnerable enough to say, hey, we just lost a child, and this is something very near and dear to we need to know.
Let me give a quick biblical answer, and then I'll turn over to Jarrett for a more in-depth answer. The Bible unequivocally states that at conception, the moment the egg and the sperm meet, that person is a human being.
Right.
And Jarrett could elaborate on that. But let me just say from a personal standpoint, I too lost a child, and not in miscarriage, but we actually buried one of our children. And so I understand, I empathize, and I have compassion on you. So just keep your eyes focused on the Lord during this time, knowing that He will lead you through this trial in your life. But with that said, I'll turn over to Jarrett, who really could give us a greater explanation.
Yeah, I was thinking just about in relationship to life and death. And one thing, just as a fact, even as logic, this is even when you consider the scriptures, of course, and we'll bring that into scope here in a second. But when you think about every life that is conceived, it's a person. And, of course, life begins at conception. But just as equal to that, a simple fact is that any death that occurs after that moment of conception is the death of a person. So you have life, of course, in multiple verses throughout Scripture, especially in Isaiah, heavily speak about, God's breathe into man. Of course, Genesis speaks of that as well, where he breathed into man. But God actually himself defines himself as that he is life. There's a few statements that God makes where he is love. He is life, and he is the light. And so when he is life itself, and not being pantheistic or, thinking that, okay, God particles are everywhere, but quite honestly, God is life itself. He is the supremacy of life in general. He gives life to all things. And with that said, of course, the uniqueness of creating a person. So every life at, that is birth in conception, as God would speak of, he has ordained and he has fashioned. The interesting thing is, and there are a couple passages, one of the passages that I think bring this to light in some of the greatest dialogue is actually in Psalm 139, where it does speak about how God has formed our inward parts, and that he is the one who has covered us even in our mother's womb. And David even declared, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he begins to speak about God's marvelous works even in creation, even when they were yet unformed. And he even goes even further than that, saying, you even saw my frame when it was hidden from you, when I was made in secret, and I was designfully made in my substance wasn't even formed yet. So the interesting thing is that even in DNA, and you can break it down scientifically, that God, he's from the beginning to the end, of course, declaring to be the Alpha and Omega. when I think about a child now, just transitioning now into this, one of the questions was, you know, when you do have a miscarriage, is there a soul within that child? Well, by definition of upon conception, life is there, of course, and just as much as there would be after conception, death, the equal portion to that of a person, that person does have a soul. The soul, interesting enough, as God would even declare Jeremiah chapter 1 specifically, Jeremiah declared that, Lord, you formed me before I was yet even born. You knew me before I was born. You ordained me before I was born. You sanctified me before I was born. And so God has a lot to say regarding even pre-conception, not to mention, of course, conception itself unto life. So just to take you through, just I think of a few points, and I'm referring to a book that, for those of you who are listening, one of the most impactful books that I've ever found on, dealing with the death of a child or miscarriage has been authored by John MacArthur, called Safe in the Arms of God, Truth from Heaven About the Death of a Child. And then there are other books that we'll post as well dealing with suffering and why does God allow certain things to happen. But just, you know, when you think about David's example, and I'd even go back to 2 Samuel and 2 Samuel chapter 12, where David had committed adultery. And even as a result of his sin, Nathan came to him and gave him basically three choices, basically due to his sin. Well, David, you know, chose to continue his kingdom and such. But the penalty of David's sin was, because of committing adultery with Bathsheba, was that his son would perish. Now, interesting enough, and that's a whole other topic, but and I don't want to look at that as that's the reason why miscarriage because of sin and these kind of issues happen. Don't misunderstand me. I want to bring something else out in that passage, and that is the way David handled that and the way David responded, because in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David continues on speaking about where he goes into this period of mourning, and even to a point where finally when the child dies, they're afraid to even go to David and tell him that his child has passed. And David, of course, after hearing about it, finds out. He shows up, he's washed, he's taken a shower, if you will, or he's bathed, and he's ready for dinner. He hasn't eaten, he's fasted and prayed when the child was sick. But when the child died, David ends up, rejoicing. And it's a weird, it's ironic, it's out of the ordinary. People even thought that David lost his mind. But David says something very interesting in that passage. He says that I cannot bring that child back here, but I could go be with that child, that I will be with that child someday. And I just want to bring up the point that regardless of what a parent goes through when, and of course, when you deal with grieving and in the process of death, we cannot bring that person back. But God has a special, I believe, without a doubt, throughout Scripture, what we talk about is grace. Is the child a sinner? I mean, you could even say in the womb, is the child a sinner? I would say absolutely. The child is not sinless. But the reason why God, I believe, reserves children for heaven if they were to die at an early age is because of his pure grace. And John MacArthur gets into that in more detail. But you know, when you think about the facts, and you know what? Honestly, Steve-O, and Brian and Mateo, when you think about the facts related to the intense depression and the isolation surrounding, because this is a very common thing. We probably know quite a few people. I know Brian here has lost a child at birth, in a personal experience, and I know he'll probably talk about that here in a second. But what we're dealing with is that it's very private. A lot of times this is a private thing. It becomes very intense and it becomes unresolved. There's the question of where's the hope for these parents that are dealing with these things, and what is the answer from God's word? We want to know Lord, why did this happen? There's always that question. I was looking up just some facts related to just, you know, deaths of children and accidental deaths or miscarriage. And the interesting thing is that what parents face is that 60% of parents face great anger The 50% of the fathers feel the sense of guilt, where 90% of the mothers feel the guilt of the death of the child. So you're dealing with, you know, a sense of the guilt of that it's the parent's fault, or it's because of sin, or the loss of, you know, that I deserve this. And all this condemnation begins to enter in. Well, that's not the case. Obviously, God knows. And matter of fact, when you look at even how Jesus dealt with children, he wanted children to come to him. He even said that the very faces of the angels that which we would call guardian angels, yeah, look at the very face of God and have such compassion, and that God looks at them as the innocent ones. Sinless? No, they're right. Still sinners, but God's grace is bigger than all this. And so I would say, for those of you who are dealing with miscarriage or dealing with anything with the death of a child and the guilt of that and the isolation, practical ways to deal with that is, when you're grieving, is to look for biblical answers, to go through the scriptures, to seek the heart of God. God knows that pain. And let me just say that, you know, it's not foreign to God. And when I speak of God, I mean God the Father, because he allowed his son to be crucified for mankind. And about him allowing his son to be crucified, can you imagine him losing his son in that sense? Now, of course, we knew that Jesus would be buried and rise again, but the death and taking upon the sin and that loss, that separation at that moment, was devastating. We're told about that in Isaiah 53. But my heart does go out to you, listeners, as you listen to this. I want you to be comforted in the fact that God, he knows the very time and day and hour. He has a destiny for that child. And even if it is minutes or it is years, he has eternity in mind. And I would even say, I've said this often, that we all die in time. And what I mean by that is, it says in Hebrews that it is appointed unto man to die once. And the interesting thing is that it's not by accident. Hmm. We look at it as an accident. I had some friends who lost a 2-year-old that drowned in a swimming pool, and it destroyed their marriage. Hmm. And the guilt of the husband should have been watching the child, and just this horrendous thing, and the guilt, and you can imagine the burden of that. But, you know, after counseling with them, to realize that, you know, God knows the day and the hour, and there are reasons beyond our comprehension that, you know, God, he knows there's an appointed time and a day. And I would say our heart goes out to you. I would even avail ourselves as pastors here, at, you know, with Static Radio and Calvary Albuquerque and our campuses. If you need counseling, we would love to take you further, of course, as we can only cover this in a few minutes on air, is to sit with you, to pray with you, and take you through some of those passages, because even Jesus said you have to have faith like a child. There's the childlikeness that the Lord has a great interest in, and his grace covers that in so much more, yeah, than we can imagine.
One of a great book that Pastor Skip, it's actually a booklet that Pastor Skip wrote, is called Jesus, Friend of Children. And he deals specifically with children that die, either miscarriage or in early childhood. So I'd encourage you to pick up that as well, Jesus, Friend of Children. And now with our new number, 844-PARCHMENTS, you could always check that out.
Yeah.
But thanks for your call.
You're listening to Theology Thursday. Pastors Jarrett Pietro and Brian Nixon in studio hanging out with us. If you'd like to ask a question, you can give us a call. We also have plenty of emails to get to, but I wanted to take a call on line one. Let's go out. Hello, Theology Thursday.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So my question was regarding like the family and the protection under the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. I'm going through a class through Legacy, the Cleansing Word, and we talked about how when the whole family is in alignment, the whole family is protected, and the grace of God flows through all the family and then out into the community. My question was, when the whole family is out of alignment, but you're still like part of that family, but you're saved and everything, how does that affect you, and when do you kind of like become your own like family and not under the protection of your family?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, there are a couple of scripture references that probably this class there at Legacy is taking you through. And as a general principle, it is a great, great teaching that, you know, under a Christian, the Christian authority of a household, there is a sense of protection. There is a sense of God's blessing upon that. However, when we say that, it still comes down to each individual within the family to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Just because the mom and dad are Christians and they yearn to raise their household in a Christian environment and do everything they can by biblical precepts doesn't necessitate that every person in that family will become Christian, because salvation is an individual component to each person. Yeah. That person has to receive Jesus Christ. So though there is the blessing to the family, though there is great things that come from a family that is leading them by biblical principles, doesn't, again, mean that every person in the family is a Christian. As a matter of fact, let me give you an example. I had a friend who walked away from the Lord, but he was raised in a Christian family. And he did his whole thing. He lived, you know, like the world. And when he finally came back to the Lord, he said, I didn't realize the blessing, mm-hmm. how much yeah. my parents had given me, the protection they provided, the guidance established. And he saw the blessing of what it was to live within a Christian household. But of course, he walked away. He lived in the world. He saw. He got beat up. But then he came back and goes, man, had I just stayed the course, I wouldn't have lost all these years. So great question. Jarrett, you may have some more too.
Yeah, you know, and also with that whole covering of the blood of the lamb, you're probably looking at Exodus 12 or, you know, in relationship to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt with the covering that would, you know, cover the family, and even to the extent of the Egyptians, because a mixed multitude came out as well. But you also need to remember audience and time. And what I mean by that in hermeneutics, you know, is really in the old covenant, based on that, it was a foreshadow of a new covenant within Christ. The lamb, of course, typified through all the sacrifices, would be pointing to Jesus. And yet, are we covered in the blood of the lamb as a family? Absolutely. We believe that. Technically speaking, the first Passover, and really, in many ways, the only Passover, was in Exodus 12, where God did pass over the sins and protected his people because of the blood of a lamb. Was it the lamb? It wasn't until we look at the New Testament. And again, speaking of audience, that's where, as Brian, just in addition to what he's saying, is that is in the New Covenant, the blood of the lamb placed upon the tablets or over our heart and along, you know, to cover our lives. That's directly applied to our lives. And so I would say that's where that would apply. So again, thinking of old covenant or Old Testament versus New Testament and audience, love the concept. Don't misunderstand us here today. We love the concept and it's great. And we believe that in theory, of course, but specifically, due to the sin of each individual, has to be a personal relationship to enter or to see the kingdom of God.
Does that help you out?
Yeah, that does. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks so much for your call. And, you know, again, it always warms my heart when you hear, I don't know if she's a mom, but the reality is, you know, she cares and loves her family
right.
and wants to do
right.
what is right in the sight of the Lord. So God bless you. That's just refreshing to our ears.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right, you too. All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Now, here's a question offshooting from that for those listening going, wait. Covering the family, what does that mean? Because I believe that, as you know, the leader of my household, my wife, she's a believer. We were just talking last night with Jack and Luke, because Jack is memorizing chapters in the book of Luke, mm-hmm. and we were talking about, you know, what it meant, blessed are those that are, you know, he was going through the entire list, and I said, hey man, people are going to hate you, people are going to, wait, what? But I'm a Christian. Yeah. So I do believe this, the idea that my family, we're all believers.
Yeah.
But that covering, Can we dig into that for a second? Because absolutely. I think a lot of times people take that and say, man, so nothing bad's ever going to happen in my family. And I'm covered in the blood, and that means that nobody's ever going to get sick, and I'm never going to get into a car accident. And what does the covering of the blood actually entail?
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, Brian?
Yeah, I would say, well, there's variety. It's like an onion. We'd have to peel it back. But right, generally right. speaking, the truth of the Lord, think of it like this. You have the truth of the Lord living in you, and you cast a shadow when that sun. And it's that shadow that's being cast, and those that live within that shadow, if you will, are benefactors to what is occurring in your life.
Okay.
So as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And the consequence is I'm living a Christ-like life. So there's a shadow, if you will. There's fruit that's coming from your life. And people who are around you are benefiting. They're picking off that fruit. Wow, that person's loving. Wow, that person's kind. Wow, that person has patience and perseverance. And these are the fruit that your life is bearing, and people are picking those up. So they're benefactors of that. So as a family, as a father, you who are living a Christ-like life, you are producing fruit, which your family is benefiting from. Mm-hmm. You're casting a shadow, a good shadow, over your family, which they are partakers of. They're getting the shade, the comfort, everything else from that. So when you talk about the covering of the Christian life, you're talking about the benefits and the fruit that people are benefiting from by your leadership.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah, and I would even say, you know, as in, just in speaking with Brian, I love that fact that as husbands and yeah. even, you know, as the wives listening as well, as husbands and wives, we have that figurehead within the family unit to be able to pray. We intercede for our family. I love the fact in John chapters 14 all the way to chapter 16, Jesus spoke of the very fact of the helper coming. And I think of the covering of the Holy Spirit as well,
yeah.
Typified even throughout the Bible, whether it was typified as fire or typified, the Holy Spirit was typified as oil or typified, you know, as water. And so with those types of coverings, we are covered definitely in the blood of the Lamb. Interesting enough, in the book of Hebrews, even to a point that we don't have to continue, if you will, to re-sacrifice, you know,
yeah.
the blood of goats and lambs and such, but that we are, everything's been washed away, we're cleansed. And so the beauty of that is, yeah, we are covered in Him. For this particular question that you asked, going a little deeper, I would suggest reading John chapter 17 in particular, when Jesus actually prays yeah. to the Father, where you get word by word, which I actually call the Lord's Prayer specifically, or the Holy of Holies, many call it within the Gospels, because Jesus enters into this prayer with the Father. And He prays for His disciples that they would be as one, that they would have that same kind of union, relationship, yeah. covering that Jesus had with the Father. And that's a beautiful yeah. passage to look at in the covering and, in the house.
And I would even look at, you know, Paul's letter to, you know, 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 8 through the end of the chapter. Because even there, Paul alludes to some interesting facets. He says, you know, nevertheless, the woman shall be saved in childbearing. And people go, what? So I just have to, you know, birth a baby and I'm saved. Right. But the larger principle, again, yeah. is through a godly leadership, you know, she is imparting. She's yeah. giving the fruit that her child could then learn from yeah. and grow and nurture with. So, great question.
Yeah, and
right on.
I want to read my verse. Can I read my verse
man,
in Hebrews?
We got to move on.
Oh,
yeah, do it.
It says, but Christ, as our high priest, as He has come, the greater more than what was, you know, before that. But it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse or chapter 9, verse 12, it's not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, speaking of Jesus, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling of the unclean, sanctifies even for the purifying of the flesh, how much more, and that's the key in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? And so we have that covering in Jesus Christ without a doubt.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, right really on. Quick, I just got a cool text.
Okay.
Look how official you guys are. I know people can't see it here, so I've just got to let people know that at Parchment, you guys now have your own end cap.
That's pretty cool.
Theology Thursday
that looks
end
amazing.
Cap. So all the more reason to
come
go to Parchment
and
look at Matteo and Stevo's Theology Thursday
and
these end
guys
cap.
Contribute
and
so
you guys
much.
Are like, yeah. I mean, yeah. we do so much.
Look at that model face.
What I've contributed today is just my very intellectual silence.
Ah, yes.
It
yes.
sounds so smart.
So so not only do we have a 844 Parchments number, so people could call 844 Parchments, but they can now go into Parchments
That's
and see
cool.
an end cap dedicated to this program. Yeah. But let's keep going.
All right. Hey, you are listening to Theology Thursday. It is 9:31. If you're listening in Mountain Standard Time, welcome to everybody around the world. And speaking of, we're taking your phone calls. We are also taking your emails because we do have listeners all over the world. Studio@mystaticradio.com is the email address. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. If you'd like to give us a call, you can. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got an email from South African, our dear friend Johan, who listens to the podcast, who was listening to last week's podcast. I know we don't want to spend a ton of time on evolution versus young earth versus everything, but we did get a few questions based upon listening to last week's podcast. Mm-hmm. So you want to hit us up with what
I'll
Johan
read
says?
It. Johan says, "Hey guys, thanks a lot for the great show and answering my previous question. I was listening to the previous show about creation and the age of the earth and thought it was really interesting. I would just like to know what Pastor Brian actually believes. From listening to the podcast, I realized that he only stated what was wrong with Pastor Jarrett's theory, young earth, and that he does not believe in evolution, but he never actually explained clearly what he believed and how it works. I know you guys don't want to get stuck on the same topic, but I myself believe very strongly in young earth. You got one, Jarrett, because of research I did into evolution. So it would be great to actually hear what Pastor Brian believes about how old the earth could possibly be without evolutionary theory.
Remember? We got a few email questions on this very thing saying, wait. Okay, Jared gave his thing and
this
then you just dismantled it.
But this isn't a battle.
We started
speaking about we both agree in the creation.
Absolutely.
So Brian, how would
but
you answer that?
I think
that?
That's why everybody,
feel a little prideful right now.
When the show ended,
sorry.
I had multiple phone calls from friends go, did he say old earth but no evolution? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, it's
and
wonderful.
So that is one of four emails that we received.
And we
tried
to clarify that. So.
Well, first of all, I love the fact that Johan is listening from South Africa.
Yeah.
How absolutely cool is that? So, Johan, kudos to you there in South Africa. God bless you there. Now, when it comes to my personal take, and I know this is going to sound sort of like a cop-out, I, like Chuck Smith, one of my mentors, like to have a file in my brain where I file things for more information.
Right.
But let me say this. I lean towards more modern ideas, mathematical ideas, that there is both a literal six-day creation and a long time frame. Here's the reason why. When you take Einstein's theory of relativity equals MC squared, I could get into that, but I won't.
Please don't.
You mix that in with other well-known equations within both the physical world, the mathematical world. Again, I won't get into all of these. And you look at the vantage point upon which we are looking at time backwards towards the creation. There is an uncanny connection between what the Bible describes in six literal days, and because time, if you will, stretches and moves, it is truly one of the dimensions in the world, you find a correlation between that. Now, I'm not original to this research. I would encourage you to look up Dr. Schroeder, who's not Christian. He's a Jewish a fella, lives in Israel. He has done a lot of work on that. Okay. Here, locally, a guy by the name of Paul Zachary, who has been in dialogue with myself, Skip, and some other pastors, has done some extensive research on this. And it comes down to this. It comes down to perspective.
Okay.
Because time plausibly does stretch and does change. Right. You know, Einstein showed that time is a literal dimension, length, width, time, you know, length, width, height, and time, mm-hmm. four dimensions, that when God created it, think of it as a rubber band. And a rubber band stretches. So from God's perspective, he created it in six literal days.
Right.
From our perspective, who are now out in the universe, turning around, looking back at the moment of creation, the time has essentially stretched. It's right. It's been a continuum. So, Johan, that's where I lean right now.
Okay.
Now, the other theories that I brought up, like a day-age theory, Hugh Ross is probably one of the mm-hmm. greatest proponents of that. I love so much of what Hugh Ross has to say. I really do, and as an astrophysicist, he's a brilliant man. I personally sometimes raise my eyebrows when it comes to his interpretation of Genesis 1. Not dismantling it completely, but I go, as far as the theistic evolution standpoint, I personally have lots and lots of reasons why I do not believe in evolution. And that would be for another broadcast.
Okay.
And I really think, to be fair, we should have a theistic evolutist in here.
Sure.
But I have awesome. What I taught my class for years. I have an analogy that I walk them through to give them, not only when you're looking at the phylogenetic tree, not only looking at DNA, somatic mutations, germanic mutations, all the components that go into microevolution or macroevolution, and I could break that down and go into that. I could get into, you know, the makeup of the DNA. I understand all of that. But the point being that there are too many holes in evolution from at least my vantage mm-hmm. point that makes it a very suspect theory.
So is that where Darwin's Doubt would come in? Because I know that's a resource that they actually have at Parchments right now, because multiple people have said, Beanix says a lot of great things and I want to know more. And we got another mm-hmm. email that was asking that very thing about macroevolution. And this person, John, who emailed in a question, says he doesn't think the Earth is billions of years old, but he lines up with what you were saying. So he was hoping to get a couple of key points to why you don't believe in macroevolution, because when he tries to discuss these points, he gets knocked down. Or if you have any information or sure. resources that people could check out, because I know macroevolution versus microevolution, and we're getting into another huge
We'll pull
topic,
those resources yeah, together. Yeah,
let me just give a general. Discovery Institute, which are intelligent design scientists, have amazing material. And that's like Philip Johnson, William Dembski, who was here at Calvary not too long ago. And the list goes on and on of scientists who deal with this very important topic scientifically, as well as from a very, let's say, theocentric worldview. But just because someone else just emailed this, Steve-O, I hate to do this, but let me take a few minutes just to give a thumbnail sketch, which we can get
totally
into
cool.
more. Okay. Traditional Darwinian evolution teaches that there is a common ancestor. And in evolutionary Darwinism, they show this, what's called the phylogenetic tree. And most of us have seen this. You open up any textbook mm-hmm. and there's a tree of life, and it has different branches that represent the different life forms. And ultimately, most theorists would claim that life began somewhere in the ocean, and then it progressed, and it eventually from the ocean made it to land, and then it got to different things. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's different ideas concerning mm-hmm. that. Now, but generally speaking, most people believe in what's called a common ancestor. So in my class, when I taught biology and life science, I always walked the students through the plausibility of that. And I always came up with a fictitious character called Larry the Fish. Or if I was talking to a group of girls, I could call her, you know, Laisha the Fish. But the idea is, I say, let's use a theoretical fish as the starting point and say, if life began in the ocean, let's say that the fish represents a more advanced life form that was there. And then from that moment, using classic Darwinian evolution, it evolved from that. So we all have in our mind's eye, in our brain, Larry the Fish.
Okay.
Okay, so let's walk through this.
Okay.
So class, Steve-O, Jarrett, and Mateo.
Yes, mm-hmm. Professor.
What does Larry need to get out of the ocean?
Feet.
Credit card.
Legs. Well, yeah. So feet or legs.
Credit card.
By the way,
I think
why
I'm wrong class.
So by why I use the word Larry, you'll notice all of them start with L.
Okay.
So the kids could understand. Okay. So Larry needs legs.
He needs legs.
Walk through me with this, guys.
Yeah.
Literally. Larry needs legs.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say through a dramatic mutation, which, by the way, a severe mutation is what would be required. And just for those science guys out there, most dramatic mutations end in death. But let's say through this dramatic mutation, let's say Larry was able to get four legs.
Okay.
Very, very unlikely. Or even two legs.
Okay.
What's the problem with that? So Larry, the fish, has two legs and he could pull himself out of the water.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
He would need lungs.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Larry, so Larry.
Or faith.
Larry, who. Okay, you're breaking my flow here.
I'm sorry.
Larry, who has the legs,
would
need the lungs.
He would need lungs.
And the reality is most dramatic mutations will not necessitate a multiplicity of the same mutation to happen to a particular organism without death occurring. But for the benefit of the doubt, let's just say Larry
is really
got the legs
and the lungs.
And he got the lungs.
Okay.
What will happen to Larry?
He needs Legos.
No, but wait.
No.
He would die because lungs aren't equipped for the water.
Okay.
So Larry would need a lumbar, a brain, to know that he could get out of the water in order to survive.
Sure.
So not
Take
only
us
would
to the point, Brian.
No,
Take
no,
us
no,
to
no,
the
no.
Point.
This is fascinating. Shut up, layman. All right?
All right.
Larry the Fish is fascinating.
So not only would Larry
we need this.
Not Seriously. Only would Larry need the legs, the lungs, the lumbar, the brain power to do it. There are a host of other components that Larry the Fish would need to survive outside of his water environment.
Yeah.
The point is, we could get into teeth. We could get into the enzymes. We could get into the DNA structure of what happens. The reality is, of all of these components descending upon a singular organism and living and understanding to know how to get out of the water, to survive in a completely new environment, is so beyond probable that it becomes almost impossible. Now, I throw out that word impossible because when you use probability statistics, you go anything 10 past 10 to the 10th power is getting very improbable. But when you look at something of this, just for one of these occur, to get like 10 to the 30th, 10 to the 40th power, 10 to the 50th, and then you compound it with all the components, all the factors that have to happen within Larry in order for it to leave the water is astounding.
Yeah.
So we could theoretically say it is impossible. And I just went through the legs, the lungs, and the lumbar, the brain power. There are so many other factors that go into this organism to take it from the water to the land. So because they asked, we could delve into this more later, but that would be the springboard upon which I would go to talk about the improbability of evolution.
Yeah. And let me just say, Brian, what he believes ultimately is he believes in a creator God, and he is just stating as an old earth or, you know, an older earth. Even like myself, I may not be a young earth. I'm a younger earth, but I'm not a young earth. I believe it was more 10,000, and that was kind of the issue. But we both agree that God is the creator, special, you know, creation, that God did this. And of course, intelligent design is involved in that as well. Going from that, Mateo, we have a question with some pretty crazy, gnarly stuff out of Genesis 6.
Yeah, you're talking about the old.
Yeah.
You're listening to Theology Thursday. If you would like to If you would like to chime in, if you have a question, we did just get another email question. You would like to email it in, studio@mystaticradio.com. You know, we're also on Facebook, Twitter. Just search My Static Radio or at My Static Radio. You can tweet it to us, hashtag Theology Thursday. Mm-hmm. We'll accept your questions throughout the week. We collect them, and then every Thursday morning, 9 a.m., we do this show. We are also podcasting it, so if you're missing any part of the show or you need to listen to Beanick say things seven times so that you can understand them,
which is fine,
with your limited brain like me, that's totally cool too. mystaticradio.com/theologythursday.
Two things. Number one, you guys realize that eventually you're gonna have to clear out more of your schedule because this is gonna have to go to a 2-hour show.
I know, right?
It really
is
evolving that way, guys. But
would
anyway,
that be macroevolution or micro?
It's micro because we're adapting to a need.
Yeah, but it's doubling in length. I mean, the odds of a show doubling in length,
well, but
I can,
you gotta
I
remember,
can understand
dude,
an extra 5
time
minutes
is relative.
These guys talk
we
long.
Can stretch this as much as we
what
need to because
crap.
It's totally
okay,
relative.
Okay, I gotta go lie down.
Anyway, what I was gonna say though, here's the thing that's beautiful about this before we move on to Nephilim TJ. The thing that's beautiful about this is this reflects what happened at the creation evolution debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye. Because the question was, is creation a viable theory to teach in school?
Right.
And Ken Ham did not debate that fact at all.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. Like, the effectiveness of that argument would have totally been on him authenticating the Bible. And he never even touched it.
Right.
All he did was say, "For the Bible told me so."
Right.
"For the Bible told me so." And if you're a Christian, that's excellent. You know,
yeah.
You can fall back that on that all day. If you're not, if you're Bill Nye and you're
it
like,
means nothing
why,
to you.
Why are you taking this thousands of year old book and your modern day interpretation and saying I should trust that when I'm holding this rock with a fossil in it?
Right.
And I can look at it.
Larry the Fish did more for me in 10 minutes
than the
argument did.
He should have said, look. They're both theories.
Right.
That's the whole thing. And most of science, most of modern science, including even gravity, if you want to get into it crazy, go look up gravity. Gravity is technically still a theory.
That's right.
That's crazy. And now more and more scientists are beginning to realize, like, the makeup. You know, it used to be, how big is our universe? And then all of a sudden it switched to, wait, how small is our universe? Because now we have subatomic particles and craziness going on, you know, that we can observe the effects of, just like in the Bible where it talks about God. We can observe the effects of God, but we can't see him.
Yeah.
And we can see the same things in nature. So to me, like, so many people get up in arms about, no, science is evil. Science is evil. No, we have to. It's really not. And as Christians, we can't be afraid of it anymore. I feel like for the past whoever knows how long. And part of that comes from me looking up all this hollow earth theory crap. Because I realize that a lot of this, what this is, if we really talked about it, which we're probably not going to because we don't have time. But if we really talked about this, like, scientists of the day really did get into this.
Right.
The guy that discovered Halley's Comet.
He
proposed an idea that the earth was made of four concentric circles. And then you can go into stuff about how we really don't know what's inside of the earth. We don't have anything that can drill deep enough to the core and tell us exactly what's down there.
Right.
So the thing about all of these theories is at the bottom of it, they require faith.
Right.
So my thing is, Christianity presents an advocate for all of us in Christ, because we all realize, you can look around, no matter what you believe, you can realize that something is devastatingly wrong on our planet.
Yeah.
There's evil, and then you can go into the whole, well, whose fault is that? I'll tell you whose fault it is. It's my fault. The evil in my life is my fault.
Yeah.
And that's where Jesus comes in, because as soon as I admit that, then there's a personal responsibility to me to answer to something, because there's evil. And you can go, and then, as Brian was saying, DNA. DNA is so complicated, and the statistics of DNA actually happening are so crazy that they're next to impossible.
Right.
And they would require a designer,
mm-hmm.
is the thing. The head atheist of the 60s, Anthony Flew, shocked the world in the early 2000s when he said, I believe there was a creator. Now, he never came out as a Christian, and he died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he shocked the world, and it was all because of DNA. And I agree with C.S. Lewis. The further you go into science, the smarter and smarter and smarter and deeper you go, the more you start realizing, man, we need a creator.
Yeah.
This only makes sense if there was a creator. And so then the next step is, well, does he love us? Does he care about us? Does he even...
And that's why we do Theology Thursday. That is why this is so important.
Yeah. And I really believe... And then it's going to go on subjective experience. But honestly, what I'm saying is, that's what all of this stuff is.
Yeah.
Every theory boils down
It's a subjective experience, yeah. except for math. Yeah. And my subjective experience with math is just terrible. It's been described as either from the pit of hell or the language of God.
Right.
And I'm going to lead towards the language of God, even though I don't.
Amazing.
But yeah. that's kind of where we're at. And yeah. I just want to encourage everybody. Like I was out on the road last week. I missed the podcast, but we all listened to it in the van. And it was so awesome to hear, you know, Christians talking about this stuff. Nobody's arguing, you know, nobody's got, like Mitch said, Benix was snarky at the end, but I didn't hear that.
He was snarky. I saw his facial expressions.
That didn't come across
he's
to
just,
me.
He's smarky. He's too smart for his own good. So he,
I want to encourage everybody. You don't have to check your brain out at the door when it comes to this stuff.
Amen.
You really can go into it with a sense of wonder and a sense of awe, and just trust the fact that if we really believe in a supernatural God that loved us so much, he became man, died on a cross, paid our penalty, rose again, enabling us to have a relationship with him, then don't you think he's going to get what you need to know to you somehow?
We have solid questions, and we have like 8 minutes
I'm
left.
Sorry.
Okay. So
I'm
want to make sure these are answered, because one is pertaining to what Teo was just talking about, and it comes from Lorenzo. We just need resources. We need I know you can get into this in like a 20-minute conversation, but can you make it four? It's this. There are arguments against the resurrection of Jesus, saying that it was fabricated by his followers. Is there evidence for and against the resurrection of Jesus? Is there historical documentation outside of what we read in Scripture? And why do you believe Jesus rose from the dead?
Yes, I would say we do have that. And, you know, to give it adequate an adequate answer, I say we approach this one next week. And because there are, it boils down to four different theories, whether it's swoon or hallucinogenic or, you know, did Christ really raise from the grave? And then, of course, you have 1 Corinthians as a historical document.
Right.
You have witnesses, and on we go. But we want to give you adequate answers to that. So, Lorenzo, I think we will put a pause on that as far as giving you the resources for that.
I think the resources are fair to give out. I mean, we don't have to go into the different theories. Lorenzo, I would look up N.T. Wright. He has tremendous work on this. A gentleman by the name of Leocona, who just put out a huge tome on the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Gary Habermas is another gentleman who has done extensive work on the resurrection. And then William Lane Craig. These four authors tend to be the experts, not only on the evidence for the resurrection, but also the philosophical and theological implications of that. So again, N.T. Wright, Leocona, Gary Habermas, and William Lane Craig. I would go to any of those resources. But I do agree with Jarrett. We really need more time to unpack this.
I would love to put a
especially
pin in this and bring it back next week.
Especially coming with Resurrection Sunday and all that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about this. Because it goes exactly with what Teo was just saying. Because we are talking evolution. We're talking all these things. And at the end of it, once we finally reconcile those things, we come to ourselves. And how do we reconcile that? Right. That is the core of it. Jesus is the core.
And there are outside resources for this as well. Yeah. And Brian,
let me just also tie into something that Mateo said to this. Anthony Flew wrote a book before his death.
Yeah.
Why he changed his position from an atheist to a theist, not a Christian.
Right.
And in the back, Appendix A and B, N.T. Wright gives his discourse as to why he believes in the resurrection. And also in Appendix A, there's another gentleman. And so those are well worth you getting.
Yeah.
Anthony Flew's book, it was a Christianity Today favorite, but the appendixes are just tremendous.
All right. Wow. All right.
That was the first N.T. Wright I ever read. And then it was like, whoa, this guy sounds smart. And then I heard him and I was like, wait, he's British too? I'm sold.
All right, we got a few minutes left, and our dear friend TJ sent in the question of this. Nephilim, go.
All right. I guess I'll start this
one.
So
does this mean that our Nephilim Hercules daddy?
I'll say there are two theories, theories
good.
Related to the Nephilim. One is based out of Genesis 6, and I'll just read it to you because it basically spells it out. One, it says, well, let me just give you the idea. One is that Nephilim were angelic or fallen angels who became demonic, of course, demons, who had relationships, sexual relation with women, had children, and therefore there were giants in the land, the Rephaim. But then you also have the idea that the sons of God or the Nephilim were speaking of the line of Seth in the righteous line and so forth. But let me just put this in your mind as far as for you to consider. In Genesis 6, it talks about, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit will not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and it continues on forward. Now, speaking of the sons of God coming into this, to the daughters of men, where we have that phrase again, where giants or even the sons of God, the other connection to that or cross-reference would be out of Job 38, where God speaking to Job, he says, where were you when the foundations were laid? In verse 6, it says, to what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for their joy. Now, again, the theory I'm going to take is that this was an angelic fallout, and that these were demons who integrated with mankind, and because the corruption of the flesh and because of the restriction of the spiritual realm, dimension, I should say, with the daughters of men, begin to have giants in the land. And so I would say, with that comparison, with the phrase sons of God in Genesis 6, sons of God in Job 38, speaking how they glorified and rejoiced
right.
at the creation. They were right. there at the foundation of the earth, speaking of at least an angelic form or being, to take that route. I'll let Brian take the other route. So, Brian, it's your time to speak on this one.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about aliens and cowboys and aliens.
The Nephilim, he's saying that the sons of God really truly were angelic beings, that they did...
Demonic.
That they're demonic. That yeah.
I personally don't believe that. So, okay. So is Jarrett's right? I would take that they were a race of, you know, giants.
Okay.
Who had relations with the lady. And again, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this because okay. there is good biblical support for both sides.
Okay.
I just happen to take the one. And here's the reason being. Again, I hate to always come back to scientific ramifications and so on and so forth. But what we get from angelic demonic beings is they do not have the same DNA. They do not have the same makeup, the components of humanity. They are of a different class of creation. So the fact that this class, who is a completely different makeup, a completely different transdimensional reality, could come and intermix with humanity is a little mystifying. Now, I understand all the arguments, but so that's one of the reasons yeah. why I take a more mm-hmm. practical approach okay. to it, to say that these were giants who had relations with them and created a lineage of giants. And we get elsewhere in Scripture that there are Goliath being
yeah,
one
sure.
of people who are large. And even today, we find some huge people out there whose structural DNA helps give them large properties.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. My rebuttal to you, sir, would be this. Captain James T. Kirk scientifically had relations with many alien beings
yeah.
that did not have the same DNA makeup.
Yeah.
You're wrong, scientist! Science! Star Trek! Yeah.
Let me just say that...
No, we're out of time!
We're out of time.
We're yeah. out of time!
I can't get my Nephilim thing in there yeah. one last time.
Hey, but what we That's should fine. Get
Not
in, Steve-O,
get your Nephilim thing is, in there one
Steve-O,
last
what I'm we sorry. Should say... is there are so many books we threw out, 844 Parchments.
Yes.
844 yeah. Parchments or Parchments.com
yeah.
because there's tremendous resources on all of this.
Amen. We are out of time.
We are. Hey, we really need to think about extending this show. It's so interesting. I know. It really is. You know,
If you enjoy really Theology is. Thursday,
give
chime
us some
in.
Feedback.
Yeah, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you love it. It is our 1 hour show right
you know
now.
What if we did 2 hours and the first hour was the idiot hour and that's where me and you tried to answer and then the second hour would be like pickup game where they're like going, no, what have you done?
I know, right? I'm telling you. Science.
It could be fun.
James T. Kirk. Alien booty. There you go.
There you go.
That is how we end it. Thank you, Brian Nixon.
Thank you, Steve-O.
Thank you, Pastor Mateo. Jarrett.
Yeah, great absolutely.
Incredible. If you missed any part of it, mystaticradio.com/TheologyThursday. We learned way too much.
I learned a lot. It's great, though. You know, like, I just want to encourage people.
Absolutely.
That if you look at every single thing we talk about, we learn more and more that there are just differing viewpoints in Christianity.
Right.
And I really think that even within Christianity, as long as you believe, you know, that through Christ, through faith in Christ, you can have a relationship with God. All of this other stuff,
yeah.
We're free to struggle with it. We're free to move around. We're free to change our viewpoint even if we need to.
Yeah.
And we don't have to feel like we have to figure everything out because you never will.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beauty of grace.
That's really
what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. We will see you guys again mañana. Middays with Mitch up next. We are out. We hope you enjoyed Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.